be here. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Testify.
I'm glad to be here.
Yes.
It's a bit treacherous. But I made it. Thank God I made it. Last time I said, I'm 63 and I'm just now getting started.
Amen.
You know, I've got somewhat to say. Although I have nothing on my mind right now. I just want to get up, give God some glory. I made it here in one piece.
Yes.
I made it here to hear the word. I know God's going to talk to me because I brought God with me.
Right.
And I just said something in passing to the brother. Skyler, thank you. And he said, all we need is two.
Two or three
are gathered. I see more than that here.
Yes.
So I know God's going to talk to me. You know, I expect to hear from God.
Yes.
And, you know, I wasn't here Wednesday. Satan's been battling me with health issues. But you know what? He's a liar.
That's right.
And I was reading in Acts where Peter and Paul had the authority.
Yeah.
To cast out demons.
That's right.
And then these guys saw that and they wanted to imitate.
Yeah.
They got in trouble.
Yeah.
The demons said,
they got tore up.
Jesus I know, Paul I know, Peter I know, but who are you?
Right.
And you know, and tore them up. And I was just thinking, you know, Crystal's got this bad cough. Whatever I get, she ends up with. And unfortunately, and she's just battling, so that prayer cloth is helping.
Amen.
But you know, she didn't want to be here because she didn't want to pass her germs on, but God bless her.
Right.
But what I was thinking, and I was thinking about that, I said, Satan, I command you out, you know, and I was thinking about that scripture, and I go, you know Jesus, you know, you may know Paul, you may know Peter. But I know you know me.
Right.
You know me,
right.
And you're
right.
Not welcome here. You've got to go.
Right.
So that's, and you know why, where I get that authority? Here.
Right.
Here, listening to the brothers here. And it just excites me to be here. And that's all I got to say. I just want to thank God I made it back.
Amen.
One more time to hear from God.
Amen. God bless you. Come on up, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
This reminds me of COVID.
Yeah.
Those were good times.
Amen.
We praise God. Amen. Amen. You know, Satan tried to get our church. He put a cold through all of us.
Yeah.
But you know, he's defeated.
Right.
He is defeated. Just hang in there. It'll go away.
Yeah.
I can testify to that.
Amen.
Amen. God is a healer.
Right.
You know, no one is a healer but God.
That's
you can
right.
get meds, you can get this, that, and the other, but
right.
the only healer is God.
Right.
You know, I was thinking, you know, Pastor said, read Marriage and Divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a strong message.
Right.
He really hits women in that message.
Yeah.
He hits them strong enough that he says, don't let this tape go out. Right. And sister, sit there. But you know, as I was reading that, I was thinking, what is the type of the woman?
Amen.
The church.
The church, yeah.
God is sick of the church.
Right.
He's sick of tradition. He's sick of rituals. He's sick of all that kind
right.
of stuff.
Right.
And that's what's on my heart. I don't want tradition. We can sit in here and have tradition.
Right.
We can sit in here and have ritual. We need to be free.
Right.
Pastor gives us full freedom.
Right.
We need to take full advantage
right.
of it.
Yeah.
And praise God. Look, he brought us here safe and sound.
Yeah.
Let us have church. Satan tries to give us 4 inches of snow. God says we're still going to praise. We're still going to worship you. And I want to do it with all my heart.
Right.
You know, there's been times I couldn't lift my arms.
Yeah.
There's times I couldn't talk.
Right.
So when I can lift my arms, when I can talk,
yeah.
I want to use it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, this old body. Talk about age. I turned 69 this year.
Yeah,
I don't do it till the end of the year, but you know, I'm going to use it.
Right.
I'm going to use it when I'm 79.
Amen.
I'm going to use it when I'm 89.
Right.
And if the Lord lets me, when I'm 99.
Right.
I'm going to use it for God because nothing else lasts.
Amen.
I can tell you that nothing else lasts.
Right.
Amen. 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 Go ahead, sister.
Amen.
You know, I'm thankful to be here, you know, one more time, you know, and I appreciate the testimonies because they continue to encourage you. They continue to lift you up. And I love the manifestation of God, you know, in each and every person, because even, you know, like my brother said, I just got over something, you know, probably still sound like it a little bit, but I sound way better than I did last
week. Right.
So I'm praising God for it, you know, and I was even going to try to sing a song. Lord knows how to come out, but, you know, I'm thankful, you know. Lord, I need you now more than I ever have before. Lord, I need you today before I walk out the door. I don't want to leave this place the same way I
sing that all the way here.
Amen.
Brother Moore called, got that text this morning. He said, well, I'm local. I looked outside. Yeah. 2 inches, 3 inches.
4 inches.
Said, boy, I don't know. I got out the driveway and I looked at it. Said, my car says four-wheel drive on the back. I got brand new tires.
Oh, come on now.
Brother Moore ain't going to have church without me.
Yeah.
If it meant enough for him to get through this, to go over here to preach it, I ain't going to miss it.
Yeah, right.
I'm thankful for the word. You know, I was reading something last night or this morning, whatever it was, and Brother Bram said, if you believe it, you step out on it.
Right. Amen.
So to speak. I don't remember the exact quote. But, you know, and that's just the bottom line. I mean, don't make it hard.
No.
You know, if you don't want to testify, you don't believe you have to testify.
Yeah. Right.
If you don't want to come to church, you don't believe you have to come to church.
Right. Right.
You know, naturally, you're an unbeliever.
Right.
And that anyway, I mean, you know, and I wouldn't want to be guilty of that.
No
for nothing. You say, well, I can't live it. Well, that's the proof that you believe it.
Right. Right.
So don't take that lightly.
Amen.
Don't sit there and use that excuse too much. You know, I want to live it. Amen. I've got some overcoming to do, but I do live it. I live it every day. Thank God for this revelation.
Amen.
Glad to be here.
Amen.
Amen. We sing page 52.
So happy to be here.
Only believe.
God is good to us. I saw that text this morning. It said local, and I'm thinking, local. That includes me too.
Yeah.
I don't know how local you want to make. I don't know what the cutoff
regional
point was.
Regional district.
I pushed through. I pressed through. I've been out already. It's like I've been sick. I went through some classes that kept me out, but I got the hill here and got stuck. I'm backing up down the hill. I called Brother Moore, so I'm on my way. But you know what I was thinking is the beauty of it is the less people, it's more opportunity for me to testify. I don't want to fight as many people, you know. And then you know, think about what John said there. You know, the Bible says by the traditions of men, you make the word of God of none effect. You know, you make it of none effect. Not anybody else. Has nothing to do. This is a personal revelation between you and Christ. And you can have as much or as little as you want. You know, and I was just so happy, just thinking this whole week, just about how grateful I'm. You know, Brother Moore, I think, said the other day there, you'll never be without God ever again. You know, and I know that because we're eternal, but it's more than that. You know, it's the manifestation part of it. You know, there's a time I had God, just didn't know it.
Right.
But now I know I got God.
Yeah.
And I thought, you'll never ever have that, never know what it feels like to hope and to want and come to pray and to go to bed and not know and the uncertainty and everything. I thought, you'll never have that again, ever in your life. God's revealed it to you. Once he reveals it to you, like you said, Don, you step out on it. It's a revelation. Once God reveals it, you can't take back a revelation. It just, it is what it is. That's why it's so important. When you get a revelation, you stand right there until God reveals something else, and you stand out on that. Because the other thing somebody said the other day, and Brother Chitta said this years ago, you're only strong as your revelation. The more word, the stronger you are. I mean, it's pretty. That's why when you see an old timer, an elder, when they stand up and talk, it's like, something a little bit different about that. You know, they're not unsure about themselves. They're not up and down all over the place. You watch their lives, they're just as steady, a loaded wagon. They're just as steady as can be. And I'm so grateful to have a revelation, to have an understanding.
Amen.
And God's built upon that, and I've got a lot of years behind me. And I thought, Lord, I am just as strong. You could put me anywhere in this world. There ain't a devil in and out of hell that can change. There's just nothing you can do to change what I am and who I am and what I understand in this word. And I'm just so happy about that. Just been on my mind all week, just the leadership and God and, you know, how he leads us, how he guides you, and how you just step out on it, and how you just give to him, and how you, the more you give to him, the more he gives to you. You know, God's not a rapist. He's not going to force himself. He just wants you to willingly just take it, take him at his word, step out on it. And this is, you know, anything temporary out here, it doesn't last, Brother Moore. It's just fodder for the burning. It doesn't last. No matter what you think, no matter what shiny things you think you got your eyes on, it ain't going to last. The word of God means more to me than anything else in my life. And, you know, sometimes you reflect back on your life and think, Lord, I've overcome so much. So many things I've given, so many things I've been married. I was thinking about that the other day. I thought, you know, I've been married for almost 20 years, and your wife just walk out the door and take the kids with.
Yes, sir.
That didn't stop me, Brother Moore.
No.
That didn't stop me. I moved from another state. I moved over here. That didn't stop me. I'm still here, and I thought, Lord, sometimes you get caught up in your own carnal mind. You think about all the negative things and all the humanly things. Yeah. That don't mean a hill of beans. God is watching over this bride every step of the way.
Oh, come on, brother.
Footsteps have been ordered by God.
Amen.
I made it through the door one more time. I know God's there. I pressed hard to get here.
Right.
So, and I know God's going to answer everything I need to answer. He always does. That's what I love about it.
Amen.
He always does. There's Amen. Never a time I come in here where I leave empty-handed or I come with what I had. I always come with more. You know, and I love this word so much. I love the body. So I love this church so much. We've got every reason in the world to praise him, Brother Moore. I've got every reason to give him my all. Just so, so, so happy to be here, Jay.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Jim. Appreciate you. Go ahead, Sister Joanna.
I just didn't want to come here and fight to get here and then not be a part of the
right.
service. And I was sitting there and I was thinking about, you said God's not a rapist. I just want to be willing to everything
yes.
he wants from me. And we were listening to that Brother Branham thing, and I could tell how much he had to fight himself to say that, because that was hard for him.
Right.
And I was like, God bless him for just pushing through himself. And then I thought about Pastor Moore, how many times he's had to push through himself, and I want to push through myself. And
Amen.
I want to get up even if I don't feel like it, which I always feel like it, because God's just been so good. But I just want to overcome myself. That's all I want, is for God to be able to use me
Amen.
And to get out of the way all the time and
Amen.
To be more, to surrender more every day. And I just love it here, and I'm thankful. And I
yes.
love our body. I was looking around. I was like, this is a good group of people. I'm just thankful. I love it.
Amen. 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 Appreciate that. Sing, He One Brought
more.
Me Out. Oh, no, we got on.
Yeah, we got
I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to be here today. I'm just thankful for this place. I'm thankful for this word. I was just thinking, you know, I was listening to the testimonies, you know, and it's the most real thing in my life, you know, and it has kept me all these years, you know, and you're right, you know, we do get stronger every time we come, you know, and you just think of the things that you go through and you think, my God, you know, we're just a strong people, you know, and you know, we step out on things, we have faith for things, you know, God has just brought us so long, you know, and I just listened in Wednesday night service. I'm like, oh my God, we are just so blessed, you know, our understanding. And I was like, Lord, just, I just thank you for this place. You know, I don't take it for granted. I'm just thankful that he handpicked me and put me here, you know, and you know, I just, I'm just so full. I can't even say it all, but I'm just so glad to be here.
God bless you.
You know, Sister Johanna, I don't want to fight to get here either and then not say anything.
Right.
You know, because, and in a way, I'm thankful for the battle, because, you know, you got to overcome the flesh, but it gives
right.
me a chance to show that I'm an overcomer.
Amen.
You know,
right.
this is real
Another
to me, and I've been needing to get new tires in my car. I've been putting it off, and I'm glad I live local, and, you know. But, like, we were all testifying about, like, how far local, you know, do you want to say? Because we're crazy. You know, we're going to try to get here any way we can, no matter what. And, I'm just thankful to be here.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Sister Clarice?
Yep.
Oh, go ahead, sister. Go
ahead. You know.
He's on the job.
Thank you, brother. Yeah. It's an honor, Lord, to be here.
Amen.
To be among the congregation of the blessed. I thank God for the revelation that he's given me personally. I know he's in there. And I'm so glad that no matter what comes, no matter what goes, whether you feel like it, whether you don't feel like it,
right,
whether it look like it,
right,
or I give him praise.
Amen.
The day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are failing for for that song. Nations are breaking. You look around, you see politics. People have lost their ever-loving mind. A six-year-old go in the classroom and shoot his teacher. What on earth? It's over.
Yeah.
The ministry tells us. The bride tells us. It's over.
Right.
You want to know what God is doing? The voice is in the bride now.
Yeah.
It's what we say. And then whatever we say, that's it. I want to say I agree with the word of God. I claim my healing. I'm not backing up. He's never failed anything that he ever said to me.
Right.
He said that I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That's why I'm here. And when you look like you're making it, and when you don't look like you're never going to make it, he's faithful to his word.
Amen.
I thank God for my pastor. Everything I have, every benefit that I've ever received, I've received because of that
right.
man.
Amen.
Because I'm attached to him.
Right.
You know, his family does these, that, and other. I never went to the ocean. I never got to do all this stuff. But you know what? I'm just with him.
Yeah.
And I thank God I'm with him.
Amen.
Okay, I'm done.
God bless you.
I'm not done. I'm just shutting up.
Isaiah?
I'm just so happy to be here right now, you know.
Right.
This morning, I look out the window and it's like snowing. And I thought about Brother Jeremiah. I thought he would have been out here, like, because he was out here last time. So I was like, oh, let me get out there. I want to do my part too.
Right.
You know, because I'm a part of this body.
Yeah.
You know, and I got a desire to be here. And because I'm raising boys to be men.
Right.
You know? And if it wasn't for the leadership, I don't know how I would be able to do that.
Right.
You know, without the word being preached and coming forth the way it does, I wouldn't know what to put in my kids. And, you know, I told the boys on the way here, I said, now, look at all the adversity that is being thrown at us to not have church. Today, you ask in your heart, you ask God whatever you need,
right.
Okay.
Whatever you guys need, you ask him today. Because there's got to be something trying to keep us from God's got to say something to us.
Right.
And he knows exactly who you wanted here.
Right.
He'll throw whatever curveball God sees around corners. You know, he'll throw whatever, he'll have whatever he wants.
Sure.
Whatever he wants is what he's going to have here. And I love that we, when the brother was preaching and he was like, you know, this is a different service.
Yeah.
This is I don't know, I'm saying this a completely different. We know what's different.
Yeah.
It's because you got real believers pulling from you.
Right.
You got real believers that are hungry. So you're obligated to feed and get out the
right.
way. And I love how the ministry brings it. Before they bring anything, they say, Lord, move the speaker and the hearer out of the way.
Yeah.
And that is the most important thing. I have to hear that. I love to hear that. You know, that's a delight to my soul to just get out of the way.
Yes.
Because I want him and only him.
Amen.
And that's all I want to say.
God bless you, Brother Kevin.
Thank God for being here and getting here safe. You know, I was traveling here and, you know, I had told God, I said, thank God for, you know, even having a truck to get here. I mean, because I got here, no problem at all. Just drove slow. Sometimes you got to just thank God for just a small thing.
Yeah.
At least I got a truck to get here. I mean, I didn't slip and slide like that. I got here safe, and I came to the most important places, coming here to the house of God. And I thank God for that. I mean, I'm coming with expectations.
Right.
I came here because I want to hear from God. And right. I thank God that I made it here one more time. I mean, what more can you ask for? You can't ask much, one more.
Amen.
And I said, thank you, Lord, for just getting me here, just getting here safe. And I'm glad to see you guys made it here, too.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because you have to have a push. You have to. Your flesh is going to tug. It's snowing outside. Who wants to get out driving in this mess? But you got to think about the bigger picture. God said, put him first. Right. And everything else will be added to you. You have to put God first.
Right.
You can't expect your life to go well if you're not putting God first. That is not how that works. It don't work that way.
Right.
And if I could just come to church and you know, and I have a truck to get here, what am I complaining about? What am I moaning about? You just use common sense. Just drive slow. That's all you got to do.
Right.
Just think. I love this. I thank God. And like I said, I'm coming with expectation. And I want to hear from God. I do. I was thriving to come. I said, Lord, I want you to talk as you always do. I'm ready to hear what you have to say today.
So, right.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you, God.
God bless you, Brother Kevin. Hey, man. It's good to be here.
I'm excited about with the service. Come on up, Sister Jennifer. Oh, I see you over there.
Yeah.
Man, stand over there. Thank you.
Just feel that that pull on me, the push.
That's what I love.
I know I'm right there, but still, I could be late. I could not come, not get my flesh out of the way.
Right.
Amen. So I'm so glad that I surrender all.
Yes. Amen.
Every day I surrender to my husband, to what I'm supposed to do. I can just keep on growing.
Yes.
Amen. And it's because of here.
Yes.
That's what's made me. That's what keeps me.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So
yes,
thankful. Yes. I surrender all.
It's beautiful.
God bless you, Lord.
I'm happy to be here as well. You know, I listened to the marriage and divorce, and that's a tough message. But, you know, I'm a believer.
You're a believer.
And I just thank God for that, and thank God for my husband, because he can break down things for me.
Yes, right.
You know, it's just such a blessing to have that godly man at home. And I was running today, and I got to that 7-mile mark, and it started snowing, and it snowed hard and fast. It was like my tracks were getting, you know, covered up, and I was like, I wonder if we're going to have church. Because I need church.
Right.
Yeah, I need it.
This message today for me. I thank God so much for what he's done for me.
Amen.
God bless Sister Belize. The brothers get the offering here. Sister Sway's coming on up. Come on up, Sister Sway. Good to see you.
Yes, I need you, Jesus.
I want to say, Pastor Moore, I was listening last Sunday when you're talking about the devil coming for you, and you better know who you are and to stand on your own 2 feet.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, you know, we're having problems with a neighbor on our street, which is, it's been very hectic, where, you know, Kevin's like wanting to move and stuff like that. And I was like, I'm not letting anybody drive me out.
Amen.
I don't care who it is. I'm a fighter. I stand strong. And I'm going to be here, you know. And like my children this week, my son called me and he was like, Mom, which he never calls me, my oldest boy, he was like, are you at home? I was like, yeah. And he's like, you're not sleeping? I was like, no. He's like, do you mind if Sierra comes over, which is his wife? And I said, yeah. I said, why? And he said, she just needs to talk to you. And I said, okay. And I said, well, you know, she can call me herself. And he was like, I know. So when she came walking up, she was crying and stuff, and I hugged her and I asked her if she was all right, you know. And she's just, the reason for this is for women, I would say, is because, you know, she wanted to get married. She wanted to have children. And I kept telling them, you know, slow down, enjoy your lives for a second, enjoy each other. Because when kids come, they take over. If you're a good parent, they take over. They
right.
do. And she was just like, and I remember her crying, like, I can't get pregnant. She was going to fertility things. She was making my son go. And I was like, Sierra, you guys are 23. When God is ready, because they go to church, I was like, when God is ready, he will bless you. And the time she was crying, she was actually pregnant with the twins. But she was pregnant the whole time. But since she's not my daughter, I didn't say, hey, this is what you wanted. You cried about it. And now you got it. And it's overwhelming. And, you know, and I just told her that this is stuff that women go through. We do get overwhelmed, you know, with babies crying. You got one on this side, one on this side. And then this, and she stayed at my house till 3 o'clock in the morning. And then my daughter's calls me the next day, and her and the baby are crying. Her and the baby are crying. And she's just like, I should have listened, Mom. I said, Tyann, I'll tell you what my dad used to tell me. I said, if you're frustrated, you call me first, see if I can come over and relieve you of some stress. If you can't, my dad used to always tell me, you put that baby in the crib, you step away from the baby and calm yourself down before you ever handle a baby when you're upset. I'm just saying, especially, Kara's not here, but she's got you guys. She's so blessed. Right. She is so blessed to have her mother and her sisters.
Right.
Because, you know, it's very hard to take care of a child, especially if you've never done it before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, she's like, Mom, do you want to keep her overnight? I said, no, I'm tired, because I kept her for 14 hours. And she said, well, I'm tired too. I said, yeah, but she's yours.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
So you take care, you know. Right. But I'm just saying that you got to know who you are. You got to know how to stand on your two feet. And the only issue I have is I have to learn to let go, because Kevin's like, you know, you don't let me take the lead. But that's another thing I've listened to with Pastor Moore. He said, when you don't trust somebody, you don't put all your faith in them. And I totally trust Kevin. But I've had to do things by myself. And when my marriage ended, my children lost their father, you know, and it's, you know, to stand like, right, to be a man or a woman, it's difficult. You got to be strong.
Right.
Like, my kids don't see me break. And I'm doing that thing for Michelle tomorrow with the autism. I'm going to be a guest speaker. And I told Kevin I was about to cancel. I said, because I'm so emotional that I don't like to do that in front of strangers. Right. I only feel comfortable with my church and my family, but I'm glad that I could come here, you know, and get that out. But I told Kevin, I said, I'm just going to do it, because Pastor Moore would say, you know, face your demon. Because I'll be getting in front of all those strangers talking about my son. And then I did talk to my autistic son, and I said, Tyrese, how do you feel about your mom? Because I have to say what I noticed about him, and I don't want it to look like a negative thing, like, because she wants me to talk about what I saw in my son, that I knew he was autistic, the different thing, and I don't want it to sound like it's a bad thing that he has this differences about him. Like, I noticed, like, he didn't really like improve in sports and stuff. I don't want him to think, oh, because he should have been fantastic, like his brother who played basketball, who was 6'5", you know, or his sister who right. was like Tyrese. Had I known he was autistic, I would have probably put him in an instrument. But I didn't know till he was 18 years old. So it was like, you know, so I've been praying on that I hold it together tomorrow at the open house for her, because I don't want to cry in front of people. Not that it's a weakness. It's just I take so much pride in trying to keep it together right. and hold it together. And right. and sometimes I've had to be the man where I don't want to be the man, but I've had to be the man, especially with my children, mm-hmm. you know, and I just... I'm blessed to have this peace.
Yes. Yes, yes.
I'm blessed to feel that I'm comfortable yes. here to be myself, absolutely. Whether I'm crying or a Amen. Mess. Amen. But I'm just blessed, and I want you to know I was listening, and I do believe that you have to stay on your own two feet and know who you are and be able to go forward,
yeah.
even when you're not. But Amen. I love everybody, and I Amen. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you, Sister Sway.
Amen.
I'm going to have the young people get up. Can you give me 1 second, Brother Ted? I'm going to have the young kids get up here and sing.
Yeah, there you go.
Come on up, young people. They've been practicing a song.
That's the order.
They made it here. I want to get them to get a chance to be a part of the service.
Sing, y'all.
Sing, Give Them Glory.
I'm just glad to be here for one.
Yeah.
I really am. And I guess just want to give my two cents in, or yeah, you would say, or yeah, my little.
Yeah.
I'm just glad
whatever
to be here.
Whatever you got.
More than anything, it's just there's so many. It keeps you rooted, keeps you grounded.
Right.
Everything is, I mean, this message means everything to me because it's made me who I am. It really has. And you see all the things going on in the world and everything it is. And it's just, your heart goes out for it in one sense, the word, but another sense is that there's nothing you do.
No.
You can't do nothing. You try to give them something and they won't accept it. And they just don't. So I'm just glad to be here more than anything. And you don't know what to say. You're just so full and you can't express what you want to say. And it's just, I say, I'm just glad to be here.
Yeah. Amen. God bless, brother.
Amen.
Appreciate that.
Amen.
We have announcements. We will not have Bible study this evening. So appreciate everybody that's coming here to make this service possible. Looking forward to whatever we're going to get. This Thursday, I'll be preaching at Little Bethlehem. We got a couple people going to be going with that for that. And then we had some of the announcements up on the board there for the church, a little active. We got some activities coming up, so kind of mark your calendars for that. We're going to sing How Great Is Our God, but I had a testimony. I was just thinking, you know, even when Sister Sway was talking about, you know, you get overwhelmed or you see this and see that. You know, I got a couple of things that helped me because I have a tendency to think about like grand plans, but you got how to get there. I don't know that part. I can be like, oh, I want to buy that or I want to do that, but I don't know how to get there. And I get, you know, overwhelmed sometimes myself. And I got two things that I'll say to myself. I'll go, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And then sometimes when it's dark or I'm scared and I don't know how I'm going to do stuff. Because, you know, you talk about being the man. Sometimes it's a load, you know.
Yeah.
If you're the man, somebody's got to be putting something on you. And you want that. I don't want my wife to have to carry that.
Right.
And, you know, so I want to do that. And obviously, if it's something that I can't handle, I can turn it over. And I know that. But I don't want to always keep turning things over. And I don't want to always say, oh, I want somebody else to do it. But every now and again, I just look and I go, Lord, and he says, can you see one more step, though?
Yeah.
If you can just see one more step, just take that one. Just take that one. I don't need you to see through the forest. I don't need you to see through the end. Can you see one more step? I can see one more step.
Yes.
I'm gonna take that one. He says, all you gotta do is just make it to one more service.
That's right.
I'm gonna just do that one. All you gotta do is just get out of the way. I'll just do that one. That's how you get. Then you look back and you go, my goodness, how did I get here?
Look how far
I came. I didn't know how I was gonna do it, didn't know what was gonna be come of it, but it's just took that one more step.
Yes.
And that's what we all did this morning. That's what we do every service. That's what we do. Even when Sister Lee said, you know, I heard the service and it was hard and this, but that was just one step that God told you to take. That's going to make you more prepared for this service.
Right.
It's going to make you more prepared for the day. It's just one step.
One step.
I look forward to what God's going to do. I look forward to how he's going to bring it. I'm just excited.
Yes.
Why? Because I'm one of them.
Right. Amen.
You know, there's a time period where they had church in here with just two people, one person preaching and one person in the audience.
Yeah.
They didn't have a service like this.
Oh my.
We're loaded. The reason why there's only two people, because there was only two people that wanted to get the job done.
Yeah.
If other people knew that was the job, they didn't want to do it. But we got surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses that people are saying, I don't care what I got to do.
Right.
I don't. What do you mean local? Local or crazy?
Yeah.
But either way, I'm going to be there. Whose fool are you going to be?
Amen.
Because if I had to go to work on Monday, guess what? I'd find a way.
Yeah.
If I had to be, I'd figure it out. I'd be like, oh, maybe I got to rent a car, do whatever, but I'd find a way. But what more important to be able to hear from the mouth of God that has answered every question, took care of every need, has comforted me when I didn't know what comfort was, has wiped my tears when I cried, has took care of my loved ones.
Yeah.
He's given me he's given me peace in funerals. He's given me rest in jails. He's taking care of me when you're sick, hell, or anywhere in between. He took care of everything.
He's always
and if all he wants is a little bit of praise, give him glory.
Yes.
If he wants my hands, you can have them.
Amen.
You want my feet, you can take them. I don't want to wait till I can't do it to wish I did it. I got an opportunity right now to praise God. I want to do it.
Why?
Amen.
Because he's worthy of it.
Just in me.
He's just worthy of it. Brother Jimmy, when you talk about that, you say, oh, I look at the negative. I look at the negative. Then sometimes you got to look at the positive.
Amen.
You go, oh, this one walked away. But what happened? You stood.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the testimony I want to say. I'm still here. Then when that one left, I'm still here. I saw the importance of the word of God, and I couldn't go away from it. That's a blessing. With every obstacle, Brother Scott, you said, it gives me another opportunity to prove who I am.
Amen.
I want you to squeeze me a little bit. It just is proof of who I am. When you say, oh, I can't, I show you.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, that's even what John had to do with Jesus. Right. This is Bible. I'm not getting off the scripture. John, Jesus said, John went and said, is he really the Christ?
Yeah.
He said, John, believe me for my very works' sake.
Yes.
Look at what I've already done. I've proven that I am who they say I am. I don't have to say it. I've proven it.
Amen.
By being here this morning, you're proving what is most important to you. You're an overcomer. And if you never make it back on another snow service, who cares? Let Satan know. Dot his eye and say, I made it, Satan. Because you know what? He'll have you looking in the future. Well, you didn't do this. You didn't do that. I'm here today.
Amen.
I'm here right now. You know who I am. You hear my voice. And I just stand on that. I look at that. And Brother Jeremiah even said it one time. He said, I have everything God wanted me to have until this service.
Right.
So if Satan wanted to bring up anything, I've got everything God wanted me to have for this service. I've got every revelation I'm supposed to have. I know every scripture I'm supposed to know. I know every book I'm supposed to know. I have the best understanding to get me to this service. And after this service, I'll have everything I need to make it to the next one. Let's sing How Great Is Our God.
Oh, my brother. Amen. You want to
get a testimony?
I promise. Come really on quick. Up, I'm sorry. So back in the back this morning, we just talked about Ephesians. It was 3:20. Like, God is exceedingly abundantly what you ask.
Yeah.
God
yeah.
is able. Brother Moore, I really appreciated last Sunday because my God is able because the word says, and I really appreciate that.
Yes.
And I know we know when to get off types and stuff, but I was re-looking at that story this morning of the bow before the king, the three Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it talked about seven times hotter, and I thought about the seventh day.
Yeah.
It's seven times hotter than
seven times hotter. It is.
But we have a fourth man with me all the time, and it's in me, and I love that. And I said, we don't even have to have the stench of this world on it. And I'm not talking about good living either. I'm talking about in here, I can get everything off of me. And I just appreciate this place so much.
Amen. Amen.
How great is our God, Key of A.
Yes, sir.
Go
right ahead.
You know, I'm just sitting over there so full.
My.
And I just love this place.
Yes.
I love this place because it's like we are home and we're sitting around the table.
Yeah.
And you can bring whatever you have on your heart. And I love that. You know, I love what you said, sis, back there.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that we can bring what we need. And it's so real, like you said, you know, you just look to it. And, you know, I was thinking of my nephew, Greg. And I thank God that he's brought him to our home.
Yeah.
You know, because I look in that boy, I'm just going to it's home. I'm talking to him.
Right.
And I think that's what people don't understand about our church is that this is real.
Yeah.
When we come here, this is real people, real problems, real issues, real love, family. And, you know, we have no judgments here. And we know who we are. And I just appreciate that. The Lord saw fit to bring my nephew to God, to bring him in, because he's never had peace in his life. And, you know, when he comes into our home, I can see every burden on his heart just lift, and he sits there, and he tries to get his life together, and I know God's got his life.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm speaking because I know that he's the seed of God because I've got him.
Yeah. Right.
And I would love to see him manifest on this side, but if he doesn't, that's okay. I've got him covered.
Right.
But I love that boy. And I'd like to see him just succeed. So when you all are thinking about Sister Dawn, think about my Greg.
Oh, yeah.
Because I love that boy.
Yep.
I do. You know, my sister Dana died when he was 5 years old. And he's not had an easy way. But he's always been my boy, and I love him.
Amen.
And I want him to have peace in his life.
Yes,
and even if he doesn't come to this, he knows it's real.
Right.
Because he'll say, well, how was church? And I said, oh, it's always good.
Always.
And he's sitting at the counter. He said, well, one day I might just come with you. I said, the door is always open. But, you know, I just love this place. And I can't say it enough that I appreciate the realness in this body.
Yes.
I appreciate the God in flesh that we can touch. I appreciate my husband because, you know, I just want to say that, too, because you can't say it enough when you have a good man that leads your home and he puts peace there.
there's no fight, you know. It's just, I appreciate just peace. And he carries a load. He carries a load with his Greg. He carries a load with my family because we had them all up. And they were all in, you know. And I just appreciate him because he's a patient, loving, kind, gentle, wise, revelated man. And I just, I could say so much more. But, you know, I just can't say enough because when I'm here, this is like Sister Courtney said, this is real, this is home, and, you know, this is where you're yourself. Right. You know, I don't care about the world because we're Abraham out up the mountain.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care what the world has out there because I'm in a safe place. I'm secure. I'm just grateful, just so grateful. I'm grateful for my kids. I'm grateful to hear Elise testify, Johanna testify. Yes. You know, that's, there's nothing I wanted. When I was having children and having miscarriages, I said, God, take them. If they're not going to serve you, take them.
Amen.
I only want kids that are believers.
Right.
And that's what I have.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. How great is our God, the splendor of the King, Key of A.
Amen. Get him up.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in tries to hide, it trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God. He is the name.
so worthy of our praise. My heart will sing how great is our God.
How great is our God. Amen. Hallelujah. Above all other names, He is the name above all names, so worthy of all of our praise. My heart will sing how great is our God. Is our God. Oh, how great is our God. Won't you sing with me? How great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Is our God. Oh, how great. Oh, won't you sing with me? How great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Heavenly Father, we want to come before you this morning knowing how great you are. And Lord, we're all lifting up our voices to you this morning in thanksgiving for all that you've done, how you brought us through, how you kept us, how you give us a love for the truth. And oh God, even though you called to us, we thank you for it. When you correct us, we thank you for it. When you bless us and tell us who we are, we thank you for it. And Lord, we ask you to come amongst us this morning, and we know you're here. You said where two or three are gathered. Lord, you're here today. I ask you, Lord, to bind any hindering spirit that might try to hinder your word from going forth, and let the freedom of worship come forth in this place this morning. Move all of our problems out of the way. Let us lay aside our sicknesses. Let's lay aside our problems on our in our neighborhood, in our jobs. And Lord, let us lay aside all of our shortcomings and all the things that would hinder us from being able to be free this morning to receive you. For you are great, our God. And we, Lord, know that you're here amongst us. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Be with this group here today, Father. Those that are home that are listening in, ask you to send forth the same anointing that I feel in this place this morning. Let it move through the airways into their homes, that Father, you might speak to their hearts and comfort them and bring them the same anointing that I feel here today. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to be here. Let us use it for thy glory. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I know we've got a lot of people that are home tuning in, and that's good. Don't feel bad if you didn't act crazy like these crazy ones here. That's the thing that I always battle with inclement weather. Is I look at it, I look at the weather, I look at the roads, I know the people, and I look at everything. I consider it's a load on me
Anytime it snows, it's a load on me, because I know I want your safety first. And I know if I don't cancel service, you will get on the road. And I try to make the best decisions, so I thought this morning, and in consultation with John, we were going back and forth over the conditions of the road and everything, and it's a big decision to me. And so I didn't want to cancel, but I didn't want people on the road going long distances, so I thought, well, let's just make it for the local people. But somebody said this morning, the local people are the crazy people. That's a new definition for local. It's an old definition, but newly applied. But I really, and this is the reason why I cancel, because you all put your life in danger coming out on the roads, and I don't want that. It's not worth it for a service or two. So what I did do, I sort of met in the middle, said we won't have service tonight. And those who are out of town, you know, I should have probably specified. I said, those of you who are out of town, and you know who you are, just listen in. Because really, I don't want you, because we pass cars in the ditch on the way to church. And so it's dangerous out, but I appreciate your desire. I appreciate your efforts. And you better text Brother Eric and let him know we're not having service tonight, because they'll get on the road, him and Mike. They don't care. Life and limb, they don't care. So maybe just let him know. And anybody else that you think that is not in that group text, let them know that we're not having services tonight. And it's funny, I it's such a battle all week long, and I normally don't even talk to my brothers about what I'm going to talk about, the services, but I felt when we got together on Thursday, we like I said, we have this whole list of discussion items that we want to talk over this year, and we started to go through the list on Thursday, and actually I was looking at it earlier in the week, and the one that I was going to tackle first, I thought be good to tackle, it was marriage and divorce. And then my brothers got together on Thursday night, and I told them, I said, this is not just something that I can talk over on Sunday night. It's too big, it's too much to cover and just a discussion on Sunday night. So I said, I'm going to have to preach on marriage and divorce. And I don't think in my all 40 plus years or preaching or whatever, how many years I've preached. It's over 40 years, because I started preaching a little after the first year or so after coming here. So in 40 years of preaching, I don't recall ever preaching on marriage and divorce. And so I think it's time. And the reason I want to talk on it, because I had suggested that you all go home and listen to the service of marriage and divorce. And I too did, as I asked you all to do. And I'm listening to it, I thought, wow. You know, I think the last time I really sat down and really looked at the whole message was when I was a single guy. And it didn't really hit me like it hit me when I listened to it last week. I thought, whoa, this is a message. And I thought, it's a message worthy of us opening up and having a real message on it and covering it completely. And Brother Branham covered so much in it. I won't do that all today. I will never get to cover as much. He told us to break it down so you could take one little item out of that whole message and spend days on. And so I want to preach a message this morning on marriage and divorce. Now, I thought, well, let me start there. Now, to begin with, it's a tough message, but what you all need to understand, brothers and sisters alike, Brother Branham was dealing with the world condition and not so much dealing with just, because he's rough on sisters. And a lot of people didn't hang around the message after Brother Branham preached marriage and divorce, because he really told it like it was. And if you listen to the message You know what I'm talking about. And if you haven't listened to the message, I'd advise you to do so, because this is what we believe. And even in talking about it, you don't even hardly know how to approach it outside of just jumping right in head first and understanding that, you know, when we're talking about the condition of the world, that's not the same as the condition of the believer. You got to understand that. And because you can have this message, and it could be a tough message. And Lisa, you said it right. It was tough. And I'm sure you got away from that tape and asked a bunch of questions because it hits us. It hits hard. But you got to understand, dealing with the world is not the same as dealing with a believer. I remember, and I'm just thinking about this on the organ, because I'm still trying to figure out how to word it and things, right, and how to put it together. And I don't know where God's going with this, but I sit on the organ thinking, you know, I remember when I first come to the message and Brother Childers would talk about lazy blacks. And I would get offended time after time again. I was like, lazy blacks, lazy blacks. And then one day I realized, I said, he's not talking about me. He's not talking about me. He's talking about the lazy blacks. And from that point forward, I realized that what you might say in general is not what you're talking about when you're talking about a believer. So Brother Branham said a lot of tough things, especially about the sisters and the church. But the thing you got to understand is when he's talking about the condition of the woman, he's not talking about you sisters. It's only applicable when it affects you or when you are guilty of it. Brother Childers always said, you know, they can say what they want, but just don't be guilty. You know, and so as we go into this marriage and divorce, I want to precede all of that with what I've just said. When we're going over these things, realize we're showing you the condition of the church, the condition of the woman, and it includes all women, because none's exempt except for the fact that Jesus Christ has saved you. And it's the same with any sin, anything else in the Bible. With us brothers, we're non-exempt except for the fact that Jesus Christ has saved us. So when we talk about the world, we're not talking about the condition of the bride. We're talking about the condition of the church world. So when you're dealing with those things, you have to keep those things in mind, because there's some truths that we have to go through to understand that we did not have available to us until the opening of the seals. Marriage and divorce could not have been preached right until after the opening of the seals. And even after the opening of the seals, people still don't have it right. People in the message still don't have it right. They're still caught up between law and grace. And they put enough grace in there to let you know they believe in grace, but they put enough law in there to kill you. And it only takes a little law. It's just a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So even the people that are in the message that are claiming to believe William Branham don't even understand marriage and divorce. I've been around the world many times, and I've had many meetings with ministers and pastors, and I've had 100 ministers in meetings before together, and I wouldn't even have the congregation in the meeting. I said, just get the ministers together, because if you can teach the ministers, you can reach the whole country. So we would take the time to have the ministers together. And even at that time, marriage and divorce is one of the topics that always comes up, because they don't know how to rightly divide it. And in order for you to be able to understand what God's doing with the church, you have to understand marriage and divorce. So that with that is how and why we are approaching this morning this way. You said, well, this is a little different. You usually go in and just start preaching. I needed to put this preamble out there so that you'll understand that when we're talking about the condition of the church or the condition of the woman, we're not talking about the condition of the bride, because she is different. She's a unique woman. She's a special lady, and she has things. She has virtues in her that the world will never have. She has things about her that the world could never get. And this world has sold out their virtue so long ago, they don't even know what virtue is. And with all this communication is good, but it's bad. All this access to everything has only made it worse, because now you can get access to anything and everything you want. You don't even have to go out and get it. You can have it brought DoorDash to your house. You don't have to go out and find something. You can bring it in your home. Brother said Wednesday night, you got to watch even the internet and what you do and how you entertain. It's there. Everything is on that internet. And so in the hour that we're living in, it's almost impossible for any of us to not be tainted by the pool of the world. Amen. You say, I'm not. You're a liar.
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
It has an effect on you. That you don't have 200 million demons loose on us and it not have an effect on us. Yes, we will overcome. Right. Yes, we will be victorious. Amen. But it does have an effect on you.
Amen.
It has an effect on us all. How we act, how we think, how we correspond, how we interact with each other, how we hold our homes, how we handle ourselves. It all, we have so many demons pushing against us that we are not even aware that they're demons. It's so normalized now that it's almost accepted as just standard processing, the standard way of believing things, the standard way of living. But these are demons that are let loose on this generation that if we're not careful, we will accept the demons under the guise of Christianity. But you got to call it what it is. If the believer's called, even if you're guilty of it, even if I'm guilty of it, a demon is a demon, a spirit's a spirit, influence is influence.
Amen.
And if you're not, if you're so naive that you don't feel like you have the influence of the world on you, I just don't understand what you think you're doing. So it's not just the women, it's not just the church, it's on us all. The pull of the world is on us all. And it's the grace of God that any of us will be saved.
Amen.
So the best we can do is to push those things down, to refuse those demons, to lay them aside, and try to live as holy and clean as you can in this ungod generation. And don't kick yourself when you run into a stump. Don't kick yourself when you have a problem. Don't kick yourself. We have been so busy kicking ourselves and thinking that we're bad and we're this. Do you realize how much you have overcome?
Amen.
I think Brother Jim said, he says that all these years, we spend more time looking at the things that we didn't do right versus all the things that we've overcome.
Amen.
We've overcome the world in this world order. We've overcome the world and its lust. We've overcome all the pulls that are pulling you out of the house of God. We're here. And we don't even hardly give ourselves any credit for that. But do you realize we've overcome more than we failed? I mean, you got to tell yourself that because the devil's not going to tell you that. The world's not going to tell you that. The world's going to try to knock you down. The world's going to try to turn you away. The world's going to try to tell you we're this and we're that. And all these young people are thinking that they've been deprived. I don't know the details, but I hear a little bit. They're deprived. They missed something by following the word, being in this message and trying to follow the message of the hour. They feel like they've missed out on something. This word has kept you out of the grips of Satan. And the only reason he's got his grip on you now is because you set the word down.
Yes. That's it.
The pull of the world got you. You won't want to admit that, but the pull of the world's got you. That's why you're not here. That's why you don't want to serve God no more. Or that's why you got this false God that you're trying to serve and claiming something outside of the message. If you're serving something outside of the message of the hour, you're serving a false God.
Amen.
Go to all of the Trinitarian churches you want to. Go to all the Baptists and those old feel-good fellowships that you want to. You'll get nothing from there. All it is the pull of the world on you, and Satan's already got you. And you're too stupid to know it. Deceived. Blind, wretched, miserable, poor. Don't even know it. So as we approach this morning, with all the reverence we can, so that we can understand what the Word of God calls for us as believers, not the world. I don't preach this for the world. The world don't believe it anyway.
They don't want it anyway. Amen. It's too hard for them anyway. No matter how I fix it, it wouldn't be right for the world anyway. Amen. So I'm just talking to the believers, those who follow my message, those who claim me as their pastor. Amen. You can hear what I got to say and know it's balanced. And whether it hits you or hurts you or whatever, you still have to say amen to the word.
Amen.
You have to.
Amen.
That's what makes us different than the rest of the world. The believer will say amen to the word if I can't even match it.
Amen.
If I can't live up to it, I'll say it's right anyhow.
Amen.
People who are caught up in the old marriage and divorce situation, when they get in a situation as a divorcee, I always tell them when I'm talking to them, I'm saying, whenever I talk about divorce, you should be the loudest amen in the church. Though you're in that situation, no matter what situation you're in, you should always agree with the word. The believers always agree with the word. The believers always amen the word. If I'm guilty of sin, I'll say amen to the word. The problem the church world has is when they get the word preached to them, they'll turn away from the word and they avoid it and they'll deny it and say it's not right. The word is right if I'm wrong. If I'm a brother or sister, the word is right if I'm wrong.
Amen.
No matter what. So the reason we need to understand marriage and divorce is we need to understand the influence that Satan has on us, on the church, and the world. So if you turn with me over to Matthew chapter 10, I want to start there and read the same scripture Brother Branham read. Matthew chapter 19, 19. And we're going to start right at the beginning. And I've been thinking about this all week. And I told the brothers, I think it was Thursday, what I was going to do. So it doesn't surprise me that it snows on Sunday. And that's why I had a double-edged sword there, because I'm thinking, Lord, I need to preach this. I want to preach this. I need to get this, but I don't want to jeopardize the people. So being that we have this on the internet, it makes it better so that we can still continue. And if I was been the only one that could make it this morning, we'd have done the same exact thing. Because I can see now that Satan doesn't want this preached. He don't want us to know the balance, the truth of marriage and divorce. And he's had since Thursday to know I was going to preach this. So that's why I said this morning, if you can make it, fine. If you can't, just tune in. I still want you to listen, because I got a message that I want to bring this morning. And it's going to be something that I wasn't going to be able to do on a Sunday night question and answer. So God help us to get a true understanding of it and understand how to balance it in our daily lives. Because marriage and divorce don't just involve the man and the woman that's getting divorced. It confronts every one of us.
Amen.
So we want to read over here in chapter 19, starting at verse 1. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, saying unto him, is it lawful that for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. They said unto him, why did Moses then command and give the writing of divorcement and put her away? And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but not from the beginning. But from the beginning, it was not so. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now here Jesus was about his father's business. And even then, the question of marriage and divorce was real. Jesus had to deal with the same thing that we have to deal with. And of course, who's going to be the one behind the author of the confusion? The church world. Pharisees, Sadducees. They were throwing that out there because they were always trying to find a way to trip Jesus up. And what they thought about with marriage and divorce, because remember back then, you know, Herod and them, they had things going on even then. And so marriage and divorce was an issue then. Marriage and divorce is an issue now. And a matter of fact, in Luke, it talks about in the time that we're living in, that we would be marrying and giving in marrying. That is one of the key components of showing the hour that we're living in. Divorce rates now are greater than they've ever been. Ever been. But it wasn't so from the beginning. So Jesus dealt with it. Moses dealt with it. Paul dealt with it. Brother Branham dealt with it. Nate's dealing with it. You got to understand what you're dealing with because you're going to have that dealing in your presence. So in order to understand it, we got to go back to the beginning. The seed chapter is where everything starts. It's where man started. It's where the first marriage took place. The first marriage was done in a garden. And when you do this, when we say this at every marriage that we perform here, those who God has joined together, key word, let no man put us under. If God puts you together, there is no divorce. You say, well, but wait a minute. But I've experienced divorce. Many have. And many have because of the hardness. See, that's the thing you got to understand. When God puts you together, you shouldn't even think about divorce. And when you're getting those arguments like me and Clarice, divorce shouldn't even be coming out of either one of our mouths. Because we know that God's put us together. Oh, we might want the salt shaker on the table, or we might want it on the counter. We might want our toast dark brown, or we might want it light. We might have a lot of things we disagree with, and she might want this, and I might want that. But in the middle of our disagreements and all our arguments and fights and fusses, and what you say, well, y'all fight and fuss? You know, anytime there's a disagreement, it's a fight and fuss. Two people disagreeing is a fight and a fuss. No, we're not throwing skillets. No, we're not throwing chairs. No, we're not breaking up the furniture. But it's a disagreement. But in those disagreeing times, you can literally get to a place where you are throwing furniture, where you are considering divorce. But if you got two believers on your hands, divorce is not an option. Because God put you together. And somehow you need to figure out how to make it work. I don't care if she's got to go upstairs and he's got to go downstairs. He said, well, that's no marriage. It's better than divorce. She's still your sister. She was your sister before she was your wife. He was your brother before he was your husband. Somewhere along the line, you got to figure it out. Clarice and I finally got to a point. We said, you know what? We've been to Merrick Garrett together so long, we might as well just stick it out. We getting too old to worry about trying to get out there and start over again. So you can get to that point. But you should say that from the beginning. Those who God has joined together. So the beginning, God put Adam and Eve together. They were married. See, people don't even understand how it all really works together. See, God put a man and a woman together who were already one. They were one before they were separated. And God actually had to take a part of Adam to make Eve. And he had to also put her in a body that was different than his. I mean, everything God did was for a reason, for a purpose. God could have made Eve in such a way that she couldn't get pregnant. He could have made her in a way that she couldn't even do anything. And I know I'm dealing with children and elders and middle aged and all kinds, so I'll have to. But y'all know what I'm saying. God chose to make them, he plumbed them like he wanted them plumbed. He made it possible for Eve to have a child. He made it possible for Adam to produce children. That was God's way. Because remember, the natural types the spiritual. And that's what we get hung up in the natural too much. We get hung up in types and shadows. People get hung up in types and shadows. And when they read about marriage and divorce, they go over there and they read over there where it says about the preachers having to marry a virgin. And they get caught up in that. And then they go over there and they talk about if she's not pure, you can't marry her. They get caught up in that. They get caught up in everything. That's why marriage and divorce is so important, because people don't even know how to judge things. They don't know what type to hold on to and what type to let go. They don't know how far to go with the types. At some point, you got to get off a type. And the thing is that God was using marriage and divorce as a type of what he was really wanting to do. The reality is not you and your wife. That's a natural type. Brother Branham said here, and I'm going to jump really down through here. Got a few quotes out of Marriage and Divorce. Now, okay, I'll read up a little higher. I try to save time, but I don't want to make it so short that you don't get it, what Brother Branham's saying, because it's important. So like you said, if I wanted to go east this morning, and it's best that I know this, I had to find a certain something in the field, and it was directly east, and I went east. Somebody said, Brother Branham, this is east. It is east, potentially, but northeast. I would pass by the very object I was looking for. I'd come back knowing it was wrong. And then somebody said, Brother Branham, go this way to your right. Now, that is potentially east also, but it's southeast. I would lose the object that I was looking for because I went beyond the boundaries of the perfect and direct way. Now, if that be so, we have two schools of thoughts on marriage and divorce. And that is, one of them says a man can only be married once unless his wife is dead. And that's one of the questions. But you go following that, you go overboard. And then the next says, oh, if a wife or a husband, either one has committed adultery, either one can be put away and marry again. You find yourself overboard with that. So see, it's neither southeast or northeast. We want direct east. You run out of scriptures when you go this way, and you run out of scriptures when you go that way. We want to know where the scriptures meet scripture and know what the truth is of it. Each takes a different way and fails to bring you up to the correct answer. But there still must be an answer. Amen. So we got people who say that they divorce and never marry again. You got people who says if she does something, you can go and either one of you can marry again. There is a truth to both of those, but not direct truth. Because we got an hour now that we're living where, you know, even in the message, we got people in the message, if you divorce, that's it. And, you know, I used to always wonder why Paul said about the young women. I was always confused about that. Because they always said you can't marry again. But the scriptures tells me, it says, you take care of the widows. Widows indeed, they're true widows. He said, don't worry so much, and I'm paraphrasing, don't worry so much about the young women because they're going to marry again. So I'm thinking, I always thought about that. And then when Brother Branham preached marriage and divorce, I'm like, now I understand how this is possible. Because we got people who have situations where they marry and God joined them together, but because of the hardness of the heart, they separate. But we as a church don't know what to do with that. What do we do with that sister? What do we do with that brother? Can he marry again? Can he not marry again? Oh, I'm going to be in trouble with this message. How are you going to handle that, Nate? I have people that get in that situation that I have to deal with. But then I have people in this message and out of the message who will not deal with that. Some preachers won't even marry people because they don't want to deal with it. But I feel like it's my duty. If I am a pastor of a local assembly, my job is to join people together according to the word of God who want to be together and love each other. I want you to marry if you're both in the Lord. Because those who God has joined together, nobody can break that up. Amen. Only reason homes break up after God joins them is if somebody has a hardness of the heart. Amen. And I've seen it. I've been in the middle of it. I've worked through it. I've had to deal with it. I've had people been married for many years decide they just don't want nothing else. Amen. What are you going to do with these people? Can't just ignore it. A real pastor can't ignore it. He's got to do something with those people. How are you going to handle it? What are you going to tell these sisters? What are you going to tell these brothers? In an hour that we're living in, over, I would say 60 to 70% of marriages now end up in divorce. I don't know what the number is now. It used to be 50, then it went up to 60. I wouldn't be surprised if it's not 70, 75% homes. That's one out of every three weddings you look at. Not going to make it. What are you going to do with these people? It's a real issue. Brother Branham said down here, he's talking about, I won't read it, but you all can read it when you get home. He's talking about Brother Branham and his wife. He was giving an example of real love. Because, see, a real love, you don't want to hurt your wife. And she don't want to hurt you. That's not the purpose of it. And he said if he was going out of the country and his wife come up to him and said, man, if you go over there and you get with somebody and you're a divorced man. And he said, and if he said to his wife, Mita, when I'm out of the country, if you flirt with some other fella, you're a divorced woman. He said, that's not the way that should be. He says that if you really love each other, you want to be there with each other. Right. You don't want to hurt each other. Right. Though sometimes we do. Right. That's called life. Amen. It happens. Yeah, that's right. But what are you going to do with it? Brother Branham said, that's not the way to do with it. And he said the real way is he gathers his family together and they pray together before he leaves. Right. And then if something should happen while he's there, he said, I believe Mita would take me back. Amen. That's a real love. Because a real love is not determined by how much you treat me so this way or how much you treat me that way. And you're not trying to hurt your mate, but you're dealing with 200 million demons in this hour. So chances are you're going to run into issues where you and your wife are going to have conversation. You say, well, I'll just throw her away. Where's your love for her? Where's his love for us? He didn't throw us away. See, we don't even treat our marriage and divorce like God treats us. Because I'm sure that we have times that we've done things where God should have put us away. I wasn't worthy to have his love. I wasn't worthy to have his affection. But God so loved the world that he gave. Amen. Despite of myself, despite of our shortcomings, he continues to give. Even to this day, he continues to give his love to us in the condition that we're in. Amen. Brother Branham said, and he was talking about that example. He said, if that's the way, he said, and that's the way it is with God. If a filial love, which is human love, fellowship love, can make a man feel that way about his wife, what about agape love? The Greek word means the love of God. How would that make me do about Jesus? As long as I want to go do it, it's in my heart to do it. Whether I say, as long as it's in my heart to do it, I go do it. Legalism won't let me do it. See, when we're legalists, that means somebody's going to live by the law.
Yeah, right.
There are people who are good livers because of the law.
Right.
Legalism keeps them from doing what they really want to do in their heart.
Right.
I mean, it's in their heart to do it, but because of the legalism, they won't do it. Oh, they really want to go 70 and 35. But because of the law, they won't do it. That's legalism for you. We won't do this. We won't do that. We will do this. We will do that. As long as we have legalism telling us everything we need to do, there are some of us who will be perfectly good people. Good livers, clean livers. Don't do this. Don't do that. I'm always afraid when somebody always tell me what they don't do. Because they never tell me what they do. Oh, you may not do this, but I know you do that. And you're going to tell me you don't do this, but you ain't going to tell me over here. There's some things you and God are going to know. But there's things that people do out of legalism because they're forced to by the law of the land or the law of the church or the law of somebody's tradition to do these things. But if it's in your heart to do it, you may as well do it. If legalism is the only reason keeping you here today, if that's the only reason why you come to church today, oh, if I don't make it through the snow and get to the church, they're going to think I don't have the Holy Ghost. If that's the only reason you're in this door this morning, you may as well go shovel your car off and go home.
Amen.
Because we're not here by law. We're here by the grace of God. I love the truth. I want to be a part of this. I love God. I don't care what you might think you see. I don't care what you might think you know. I don't care how good you are and how bad you think I am. I honestly love God. I do this because I love God. And I love God because He first loved me. I'm not forced to be in church. I'm not forced to be here. We're not. I have to cancel service because y'all are crazy enough to get out in the weather when you shouldn't. What makes you do that? That's not legalism. You want to. It's a love for the truth. Don texted me and I texted him back. He said, oh, I looked out the door and there's so much snow out there. I said, Don, you're an elder and you're out of the city. You don't have to come. He said, I got a four-wheel drive. If you're going to be there, I'm going to be there. It's people like him that make me cancel service.
Amen.
Next time the cancel service is canceled, just know. But it's a love for the truth. It's not legalism. It's not forced. I'm not forced to serve God. You're not forced to serve God. If you don't want to serve God, don't. What always bothers me is people don't serve God and they get mad at you because you do.
Yeah.
It's like, why don't you just go away?
Right?
Brother Branham said over here in the Easter seal, he said he was talking about the opening of the seals, and here they are, the true mystery of marriage and divorce and serpent seed and all these other things that have been fussed about. It's thus said the Lord. But it took the opening of the seals, and a little higher, said, there stood the angels and throw the sword in your hand, said, go home and open up the seven seals that are given. Brother Branham said, go home and open up the seven seals. But in those seven seals was the truth of marriage and divorce.
Right.
All the way up until that point, he didn't have it right either.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
So in order for us to look at it, let's go back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 2. And if you look at Genesis chapter 2, you will find out there exactly how this all started. And it's important for us to know this, because people in this generation, you know, this is an age of equal rights.
Yes. Oh,
Everybody's got rights. Everybody. So it's hard for them to read this. Because what you got to understand, well, let's just read it and you'll see. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up his flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto man. Why did he do that? And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. There's some key points here. Why did God take Eve out of Adam? Why didn't he just create him? He created Adam. He created the horses. He created giraffes. He created everything else. He could have done it. Could have brought her out. Why? God is also true to his types. He knew that Adam was going to be a perfect type of himself. And just as much as Eve is a part of Adam, we are a part of him. And he took a rib, a part of Adam's own body. Now, he had other ribs. When Eve messed up, he could have divorced her. He had more ribs. God could have said, well, let's try this again. Let's see if we can do a better job this time. But he didn't do that because it would have broke God's type. He still, Adam was living the type the whole way through. But God created Adam, and the thing about it is when God created Adam, he was the last thing God created in the creation. It was done. It was through. He created from the smallest amoeba all the way up to man. Science ain't wrong about their evolution. They're not altogether wrong. Don't think they're stupid. They're just missing some things. They don't understand that there was no such thing as time, and God took 1,000 years to go from here to here to here to here to here to here, and at 6,000th year, he put man out there. But he came from that little amoeba all the way up to man, and it was God's timing, and it was God's creation, but God still did it. But he did it in an orderly fashion, and man can see the fingerprints of where God did it, but they call it evolution. And they'll fight the Christians over it, and the Christians fight them over it, and both of them's going northeast and southeast, and no one knows direct east. Yes, evolution is true if you got God in it. That's the way God created. And that's why God started where he did, and that's where God ended where he did. But in all of God's creation, he did not include Eve. So you got to understand that when God's creation was finished, after that sixth day, he said it was good. It was finished and done and good. God didn't need an eighth day to come and create Eve. He didn't need another 1,000 years. He just took Adam and put Adam asleep and give Adam a wife out of himself. But you got to understand, that was not part of the original creation. That was a part of Adam. She came out of man. She didn't necessarily come out of God. She came out of man. And see, this is where it gets sticky, because people want to think that everybody was part of that creation. But you got to remember, when God created heavens and earth, and he created everything in those 6 days, it was perfect. And Satan couldn't touch nothing that God had touched. Amen. He couldn't get in it. He couldn't pervert it. He couldn't mess it up. He couldn't cause a problem. There wasn't a thing that he can do about it. Amen. When God took that 7 day and rested, he was resting because he didn't have to worry about the devil. Amen. Just like he'll have that 1,000-year reign when we're in our glorified bodies, Satan will still be locked out, because he won't have any access to us. So when God created Eve out of Adam, Brother Branham said she was a byproduct of the original creation. So God had given Adam the orders before Eve. If you read up a little higher, God told him to be plentiful, multiply, and go for and do all these things. He gave Adam all the orders. God never gave me the orders. He gave them to Adam.
Adam. That's right.
Amen. And then Adam gave them to Eve.
That's right.
Eve, we can do anything we want. We can move mountains. We can do this. We can speak this. We can do that, that. But don't touch that tree.
That's right.
God said, don't touch that tree.
Right. Amen.
But Satan... Well, let me just read this before I go on any further. This is in Jehovah Jireh, too. And then God took a rib from Adam. A woman is a byproduct of man, not exactly their original creation. He took a rib. He separated the physical and took the feminine part from Adam and put it in Eve. There was the man and the woman. And when they got out of those, places, they're out of God's right condition. There is a perversion somewhere. When a woman wants to be masculine or a man wants to act feminist, there was something wrong somewhere. They're out of the original right condition. They're out of their right condition. This generation that we're in now, this has gone to the extreme. The extreme perversion. You got men want to be women. Women who want to be men.
Yeah.
People don't know whether they want to be men or women.
Right.
Their identity crisis has gone crazy. Yeah. They want to be called anything from him, her, it, they, she, he. The perversion, this world, these 200 million demons, you don't think they're loose?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Amen.
I listen to the news all the time. And sometimes when they're talking about certain subjects, I don't know whether it's a man that they're talking to trying to be a woman or a woman that they're talking to trying to be a man, because I listen to the radio a lot and sometimes it's on the radio or sometimes I see it on TV and I don't know which one there are.
Right.
This was after the creation.
Yeah.
The perversion came after the creation.
Right.
The fall came after the creation. Eve came after the creation.
Amen.
She was a byproduct of that man.
Right, man, right.
And Satan knew it.
That's right, right.
When Satan was kicked out of heaven, he knew he could not go to Adam.
Right.
He knew that he couldn't go to any of the animals.
Right.
Because they were part of the original. So all he could do, and Brother Branham always said this, all Satan does is he takes God's creation and he perverts it. Any perversion is a good act perverted. He said, Brother Branham said, adultery is a good act perverted. Any kind of sin that's out there, there is a good act that Satan copied off of it and perverted it.
Right.
And so what Satan did, he knew that all that he could do would be to pervert God's creation. He couldn't create. He couldn't create a person. He couldn't create somebody to go to get talk to Eve. He had to take what God had and use that to pervert it into something that he can use. When Satan uses you, he's taking what God has created and perverted for his own use.
Right, right.
So Satan knew that he needed something to get into. And he could have got into any animal. He could have. He could have got into anything. Because all he does is get in. He's a spirit. He gets into something and he uses that vessel for his glory. He got into the pigs when they were cursed and the pigs were smarter than man. They went and jumped off the cliff. They said, they know what, they're going to do that. So Satan, all he can do is get in something and pervert what God has created. So he knew that Eve was not in the original creation. He knew that she had a weakness. He knew that. He didn't just know it overnight. He watched them. It took a while. He watched Eve and Adam walking through the garden together. And he'd watch as Adam and Eve going arm in arm, and she'd look over to that serpent. He's almost like Adam. They talked to him. Probably ate lunch with him. Fellowshipped with him. The serpent was the closest thing to man. Remember, God created from the amoeba all the way up to man. Well, before man was the serpent, and then after the serpent comes the apes. So no doubt, Satan would whisper things in Eve's ear. Oh, he's not going to just take you overnight. People don't leave church overnight. He works them over. Eve didn't just walk away from Adam overnight. Satan worked her over. So Eve was the weaker vessel. The only thing that Satan could use to just mess up God's program. And the way he was going to mess up God's program was to take the serpent and mix his seed with the human seed to pervert it. He's the closest thing. His blood could mix with man. His seed could mix with man. He was the walking, talking, closest thing there was to mankind. And because Eve was a weaker vessel, he could talk to her. He could talk to her and let her know that that serpent was a pretty good looking beast. Pretty smart beast. And she was seeking knowledge. See, Brother Branham said the woman's different than any other beast. Because in all the other animals and beasts of the fields and everything else, the male is always the prettiest. You look at, I always think about the robin. Because I always thought the red-breasted robin was the female. But when I found out that ugly-looking bird, she had no red on her. She's just drab looking. She's not pretty at all. I thought, all this time I'm thinking the beautiful red robin. I'm thinking that that was the girl. I found out that that was the male. You look at deer. The little bitty does. Nothing really great about her. But the bucks got the antlers. Big, broad chest and big, stately. And he gets your attention. And you know, the cows and the bulls, the cows don't have nothing done. They don't look like much. Those bulls look massive. You won't jump in the ring with them. But just in animal kingdom, the woman was never the most beautiful, but it was always the man. But it's funny how in mankind, the woman is the beautiful one, and the man is knock-kneed, just clumsy. Ain't nothing to him. Just bald and just whatever. They just, you know. But beauty follows the women. And there's a reason for that. Because Satan is the author of beauty. He goes after everything and he tries to beautify it. I mean, if you think about the churches, you think about their altars, you think about their all the gold and all their circumstance, all the pomp and circumstance, it's beautiful. It's nothing more beautiful than a church. So Satan used that serpent to talk to Eve. Because he knew. He knew that she was wanting knowledge. She had a weakness there. She wanted to know. They would have been fine if she didn't know. Because do you realize that every seed of God was going to come regardless? You were coming. We got this perverted body because of the fall in the garden. But our soul, which is God, was coming. It was ordained because that was God's way to get us here. He was going to bring us here, but God was supposed to speak us like he spoke Jesus. Adam was supposed to speak us into existence. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said, he spoke, and it didn't spook her. Because it wasn't the first time he spoke. He didn't just come up to her. You know what? For a young lady to be seduced by a guy, and I say this at the highest level, he don't just take her, right? He works her over. He opens the door, tell her how pretty she is. And see, there's that beauty. It perks her ears because it's like, oh, she's got a weakness there. And so he's telling her how pretty she is. He'll bring her flowers, beautiful flowers. Take her out to dinner. He puts some invested time. He works up to what he wants. And that's why I always tell you young people, don't just fall for beauty. Don't go after that girl that's beautiful just because she's beautiful. Don't go after that guy because, see, now guys are turning beautiful. They get nails and fingernails and toes done. They get manicure. They go to beauty salons, and they do the same thing the girls are doing. Why? They're trying to make themselves beautiful. And people don't understand, but Satan uses beauty.
You're right.
I'm not saying you got to live out of a sack and wear a potato sack and look all wore down and beat up. I'm just saying you need to understand what you're dealing with.
Right.
We're living in an hour where we're dealing with spirits. And if you're not careful, you'll be suckered into those spirits and going after something and trying to produce something. God's going to check your motive behind the things you do. Like I said, I'm not talking about our sisters. We need to check our motives. Our brothers need to check our motives. But God's going after the world saying their motives are wrong behind what they do. And even in us. In this hour, we got 200 million demons loosed. We need to check our motives behind why we do what we do.
Amen, Lord.
I always marvel. Because it burns me up. Because they do it on purpose. And I'm going to say it. And every brother in here is going to say, they know what you're talking about. And the sisters know too. But it doesn't affect them like it does you guys. These newscasters. I don't even need to say nothing else. All the brothers are like, oh, yeah. These newscasters put on these short skirts. So short, they can't pull them down or they'll come down. Then they get on national or international TV, sit up on a high stool, and cross their legs. I say to myself, why would you do that? What man is watching this newscast and listening to a word you saying?
Right. Right.
You say, well, you are a Christian. Yes, I'm a Christian, but that's a demon that's loose in this generation. Amen. We don't even hardly recognize them as demons. They do that on purpose.
Amen.
It's for news ratings, and it's not for the news. They're chasing the newscasters around. They do it on purpose. And I just bring it out to show you that these beautiful demons are real. And it's all set up to distract you and to attract you and to pull you away from the Word of God into the world. Because that's all it does for. Think about how many of the brothers here got led away by a beautiful woman. They're not here today.
Amen. Think of it.
They're not here today. If they are, they're fighting. But I want us to understand how to use beauty in its right way. If you're a sister, you can be a beautiful sister. We have beautiful sisters. But God's beauty is different than the world's beauty. You don't have to tease God with a short dress. You please God by being Him. By being the living word. And you don't have to put a bunch of stuff on to try to catch God. God looks at character. He's not like a bass fish that you got to put something trickling in the water to get its attention. God's coming after you because you belong to Him. You don't have to trick God. God wants you. And if you get a good wife or you get a good husband, you don't have to trick them and try to do all this stuff. You love each other. You want to be there for each other. Like I said, Clarice, don't put on at home. Be yourself. Be comfortable.
Yes.
Be comfortable.
Amen.
Don't come in here with some big old shoes that she can't even walk in. trying to impress me. I was impressed when I married her 37 years ago.
Amen.
Man, you don't have to try to put on some phony something to try to do something. Spend more time at the Y than you do at home. As much as you pump, it's going to fall. But beauty, this world is going after the wrong kind of beauty. God's beauty is His holiness, and His holiness is in His word, and His word is in His bride. And if you get a bride that's got that kind of beauty, you're dealing with a jewel. Satan uses beauty to capture people. He did it then. And he's still doing it now. Amen. He's more subtle, that old beast. He was more subtle than all the other creatures.
That's right.
Did any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made? And he said, yea, hath the Lord said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? See, he's starting to work on her. He'd been working. Don't think that he just started working on her on Genesis 3. He had been working on her for an unknown amount of time.
Amen.
Because we don't know how long they lived in harmony in a garden with Adam and Eve. We don't have a table of that because they were living in eternity. There was no time clock. There was, and the whole time Satan was after her.
Yes, sir. Right.
Because he knew if I could wear her down, I got the whole program.
Come on.
Right. I could mess the whole thing up. Then they finally started telling her, hey, God said, he didn't really mean it this way. You should not eat of every tree. Now listen to how he started twisting. See, that's what I said, don't worry about the beauty. Now you sisters, dress nice, be beautiful, but don't come in here trying to show us your legs. I say, oh, there goes your clothesline religion. No, I'm trying to show you that that's beauty after the world.
Right.
You don't get God by that kind of beauty.
Amen.
And you know I'm not a legalist.
Amen.
But I'm just telling you the kind of beauty you should be bringing here.
Right. You're right.
I ain't like Sister Baker who would wait at the back door with her ruler. I just want you to understand what you're dealing with. You're dealing with spirits and demons that want you to look like the world, want you to act like the world, want you to dress like the world, want you to be the world. And if you come in here like the world, I'm going to let you come in here because I want to preach to you.
Amen.
But I do want you to get God's beauty,
right,
not the world's beauty.
Right.
Don't come in here trying to impress God by how you dress. Because if you use the world for that, you're going to be a mess. Because I'm telling you, the world don't like what we like. The world don't dress like we dress. And the world tries to use beauty to get over on God.
Amen, Lord.
And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you even touch it, lest you die. You touch that fruit. Don't even play around with it. Don't get near it. Stay away. Shun it. And she is talking to the one that God said, don't touch. He's like, I ain't a bad guy. I'm a serpent. He said, don't touch me. Yeah, handsome, strong. Y'all ain't seen a built man. Handsome, strong, but he's like, ain't nothing wrong with me. There's no harm in touching me. You won't surely die. Now, a lot of people read that and they're looking at an apple tree in their head. Don't touch that apple tree. That wasn't the tree. She was talking to the tree. Because Satan was using him. He was in him. And God knew that his seed would mix with Eve. Don't touch him. Don't go near him. Don't even touch him. And the serpent said unto the woman, now here is, he'd been working her over, now he finally put the little bit of word in there. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. God said, ye shall surely die. Satan said, through the serpent, ye shall not surely die. And you know what? He had a truth. It was southeast. But he had a truth. Because she didn't die. Not right away. So he didn't lie altogether. He just perverted the truth. The church doesn't lie altogether. They just pervert the truth. One word, not. One word caused you to age. One word caused you to have problems. One word caused you to lust. One word caused you to have sickness. One word caused you to gain weight. One word caused you to die. And you don't think staying with God's word is important? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You don't add to it. You don't take away from it. If God says it, you need to start checking yourself out. You need to look at what God's looking at. You need to understand how God sees things. Because the bride will look at things the way God looks at it. You say, well, I want to do this. Well, do it. If it's in your heart, you may as well do it. Don't go to hell in a Volkswagen. Do what you want to do. If you don't want to serve God, don't have to tear the whole house down. Don't be a Samson. Tear the whole place down because you can't worship God. Well, this church no good. Brother Isaiah did this. Brother Jeremiah did that. Brother Don's no good, and that pastor's rotten. I'm just going to destroy the whole place. Just go away.
Amen.
If you don't believe what's being preached, just go away. The devil never just goes away. He's going to bring the whole house down. He got kicked out of heaven. So now nobody gets to go. That's a spirit. People don't like this life, so they take a machine gun and go shoot people up and then shoot themselves. Just shoot yourself. Why do you got to drag everybody else into it? We're loving life. We're enjoying life. Leave us alone. Shoot yourself and get it over with. But that's not the devil. It shows you the devil's behind all of this because people can't even just go away. They have a suicide, murdering spirit on them. Loose in this hour. Another demon. I don't know how many demons I've listed already since this morning's service started. But these demons are real. They're loose and they're out there and they're trying to kill you.
Amen.
They're after you. He said, I got to make myself beautiful. I got to do this. If you just get so engrossed in, I got to do this, and I got to look like this, you need to check out your motive.
Right.
You need to check out your motive. Sister and brothers alike. You know? If I get the most expensive cologne, because I know every time I put it on and I walk by those sisters, they're like, woo, Brother Moore. My, you smelling good today. You know, that make me feel good. And I was like, yeah, this old stuff. I know. Yeah. No, check your motive.
Amen.
You might be putting that on to draw flies. And if that's your motive, you need to not buy it. You might get the tightest skirt. And you're walking like this. You're not comfortable. But you're doing it because... I'm just giving you some examples that are real life. Check your motives. Why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? Why am I doing what I do? Why do we do what we do? You can do it if your motives are right. But if your motives are wrong, don't do it. Because you're just pulling yourself into this world order and dealing with these 200 million demons that are loose on you. You shall not surely die. Yes, you will surely die. It was part truth. They didn't die that moment, but they didn't live 1,000 years. Matter of fact, once they got a hold of that fruit, time started. When they got down there and won't read it, when God come down in the cool of the evening, because what she did was she got with that serpent, the beast that God said, don't even touch, don't deal with the middle of them, don't look at it, don't even touch it. She was innocent until she got with that serpent. Then she found out what was in the middle. Good and evil. It was a pleasurable, good to look at. So she and the serpent got together, and he showed her things that she didn't know about. And she was so ignorant and so beguiled, so tricked, that she ran to Adam, said, hey, Adam, look what I found out what we can do. And Adam's like, and you know we had a conversation. Eve, what have you done? Well, the serpent over here, he showed me this trick. Let me show it to you. Adam, you will enjoy this. You will like this. And Adam's like, Eve, you messed things up. And now we got to rethink this thing. Do I want to get rid of you? She's pregnant when she came to Adam. Do I want to get rid of you? Do I want marriage and divorce? See, y'all forgot I was talking about this. Still on the top. Do I want to put you away? Eve, the only way this is going to work now, I'm going to have to step out with you because I know I'm a son of God. You're a byproduct of me. He won't destroy me. But because he won't destroy me, if I cling to you and stay with you, he won't destroy you. Because all that I love and all that love me will be there.
Come on now. Right. Wow.
So Eve, show me what the serpent showed you. For Adam so loved Eve. He stepped out with her. He didn't divorce her. He could have. But those who God has joined, see, people always think they've got the worst issue going on in their life between them and their spouse. And I just can't take it no more. Try losing all humanity. lost everything. But he stayed with his wife. Those that God had joined. God joined Adam and Eve. God put them together. And the worst thing that could have ever happened in their home happened. That ain't happened in your home yet. I know that ain't happened in your home because that beast doesn't exist no more. And that's about the worst thing you could do. And Adam stepped out with her, loved her in the middle of it all. But because she was a weaker vessel, because she was a byproduct, and this is what the sisters and women in this day don't want to hear. They don't want to call it a byproduct. Can't you think of it something better? Can't you call it something else? You know, Adam Plus. That makes you sound better. It's like, you know, give us a little extra push behind. You know, give us something extra. Well, Brother Branham didn't have any better word in the 1960s. He said, call it byproduct. But in 2023, you call me a byproduct, and we're going to fight. It's like, you know, this is the generation we're living in. Asia Bico Wright, you can't call me that. But because she really was a weaker vessel, was not in the original creation. See, I bring this in because you need to understand why God did what he did. He saw that she could not handle that pressure. And so what God did let's just read this here in Satan's Eden. It says, now notice, Eve, she's Satan's queen, see? Satan's the serpent, got to Eve before Adam got to her. That's right. So he beguiled her, see? So Satan, the serpent, was the husband of Eve before Adam ever knew. See, he beguiled her. The Bible said he did. And she knew she was naked. Now look, legacy in church age. She, Eve, is sitting in Satan's as Satan's queen. She is rich in worldly goods, blind, naked, again, don't know it. Just like it was in God's Eden. But now, because a holy veil over her face, but it's lust. This Eve, this church world Eve, has a veil over her face called lust. Eve and Adam had veil over their face. It was innocence. So she's naked again and don't know it. Just like it was God's Eden, but now not because a holy veil is over her face, but a lust veil, that she took off God's holy veil and put on the veil of knowledge for lust. And now she has a lust veil and she is blind. She's blind to it being sin. She is naked on the street. And don't know it. She's a prostitute on the street. The woman with those shorts on, God's sight, is a prostitute and don't know it. This generation, they don't think nothing about it. Go out with no clothes on. Do you know they went out? They go out with no clothes. I was in an airport in Amsterdam. This woman come walking through the airport. She had on see-through clothes. You can't say she didn't have on clothes because she did. They were see-through. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this world is... I was somewhere else. I was in Florida. And we were at the dock, somewhere at a dock, getting ready to go fishing. And this man comes walking down with this girl in his arm, and she had on so little that it was embarrassing to me. And I didn't even know her. And her man that was with her was grinning so big because he thought he had the biggest prize. And I was thinking, oh my goodness. I was ashamed for him about her. But the hour we're living in, they don't care. They show everything on TV now. They show everything on commercials now. There's things they used to show on commercials back in olden days, years ago, back in Don's day. They wouldn't put it on there. I remember back then they had, and I'll say this, Anita Bryant, or whatever Bryant lady was, she was doing commercials for bras. And she would have her blouse on, and they thought it was awful because she put on a bra on top of her clothes. don't put nothing on now. They just showing just Satan's world. You got to realize where we're at, folks. Don't just sit back and act like, well, this is normal. This is not normal. This world is on a downhill slope to hell.
Amen.
And they don't care about anything. Kids cussing parents out. Parents cussing the kids out. No respect for each other. No kind of, just none. I sat at a restaurant the other day. I was just sitting back. I think it was Wendy's. And I thought, I like watching people. And this guy was going in for lunch. And it's not to say that you can't do this, but I try to gauge, I try to look to see, is there God out there anywhere? Guy comes in, slams his food down, just starts chomping. I say, he didn't even stop to pray to God, don't let him choke. They don't care about God. This world does not care about God at all. That's why I say you brothers and you sisters are different than the rest of the world. They're headlong on their way to hell. And you're doing the best you can to paddle upstream. Against the tides, against the odds, against the currents. But we're still standing.
Amen.
We're standing strong, Sway. We're standing strong. The current's hard and there's a lot all coming at us. But we're still just, we're going up. Any old dead, brother said, any trash can go downstream. But you got to have life in you to go upstream. This bride is going upstream. Everybody else is just floating down. Why is it so important? Why do you think you got to have a prophet? Why do you need a message? We're like, because this is the only way. This is how we get out of here. We can't get a rapture without it. You must come this way. You won't go if you don't come this way. And we're steady moving upstream. And they're just, oh, it doesn't matter. If I'm predestinated, I'll be there. I was stressed as a child because they made me wear dresses. Oh, I was stressed as a child because they made me go to church every week. Oh, I went to church twice a week. That was awful. The God of this evil age has you. And you're floating down the river on something that's dead. And if you don't jump off of it and start swimming upstream, you're going to end up at the falls. Because that's the only place the water goes. It's right to the falls. So here we got Eve. She was tricked by the devil. And because she was tricked by the devil, God said, wait a minute. And I wasn't going to read this, but I do want to read it. I don't even have it in my notes, but I want to just read it. Listen to how God handled it. In Genesis chapter 3, just for a minute here, I'll move on. But, oh, it's 12 o'clock. This is why this isn't one of the Bible study subject, because I thought this is just too much. I'll read this and I'll wrap it up. I'll read this and wrap it up. Lord, help me. Chapter 3, verse 14. And the Lord God, he come down and start passing out judgments. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle and above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly shall thou go, and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. He will never have sex with another human being. God changed every bone in his body. He put him on his belly. Lowest creature. Can't get any lower creature. It can't get any lower than a snake. That's why when you call him, you old snake, you're about as low as they come. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. She had a seed already. But the woman don't have a seed. But she was promised one. And that seed was Christ. And the seed of the serpent was going to be this whole world order that you're now looking at. His seed came to fruition in all these children that come about. Weren't he supposed to be here? Weren't even God's here? That whole act of sex was not supposed to happen until he and Eve did that. And that's what caused the sin. See, people think it was the serpent. No, it's the very act. The way you got here was wrong. The way I got here was wrong. We were not supposed to come by sex. We were supposed to come by the spoken word. And then God had to change the whole program and not change it in the worst case, but he changed it for the better, because then more of his attributes can be displayed. I'll put enmity between our seeds, and it shall bruise your head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And you, woman, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. That was nothing but the truth. She had twins in her while he was talking to her. Not only was she going to have, you have sorrow with one child. You said your daughter had twins. That's double sorrow. Eve had twins. Not only did she have one baby, but if she had that one, another one came. Multiply your conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Not just one. And thy desire shall be to thy husband. Here is where God separated Adam and Eve's authority. Because he knew she was a weaker vessel. She's the most beautiful one in the garden. He knew she had issues. And he knew that she needed somebody who could help guide her through. No longer was she going to be Adam's equal and walk out on her own like she did in the garden. He said, Eve, you're going to be here right with this man. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Nobody wants to hear about that today. Anybody ruling over me? But you got to understand the reason why God put headship in. It wasn't a boss and servant. It wasn't a master and slave. It wasn't a masculine man and a little bitty wimpy woman. It's because the woman was the weaker vessel. Satan uses beauty to deceive her, and she was going to be able to deceive a lot of people. So he said, I'm going to put you under your husband, and he'll rule over you. He'll be in charge of the home. He's going to take care of things. He's going to be able to watch out for you and protect you from yourself and from the devil. You got a weakness there, and he puts them just like in our lives. When you got a weakness in your life, sometimes God put things in your life to protect you from your weakness.
Amen.
I know that.
Yeah.
He does that. It's not just Eve. It's all of us. But he said he's going to rule over you. And said, Adam, because thou hast hearkened to your wife, because you listened to her, not because you were deceived, because Eve said, hey, the devil tricked me. Adam's like, Lord, I know. I know it's coming. He said, because you listened to your wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, curse is the ground for your sake. You're going to work. And sorrow shall thou eat all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles. Steve Belvo's still mad about it.
Yeah.
Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee,
yes,
and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. And the sweat of thy face, yes, shall thou eat bread till the day you return back to the ground.
Right.
For out of it wast thou taken, dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Adam, you're not going to live. Sorry, bud. I'm taking my 1,000-year back. And you're not going to live 1,000 years? Nobody will. You're going to have to work. If you're going to eat something to eat, you're going to sweat for it.
Right.
You take care of that woman.
Right.
See, that's why we say that it's not a negative to have a man in your life.
Right.
His job is to take care of you.
Right.
It's just this generation that everybody has to work because it's part of Satan's eating that everybody's got to be out of the house.
Right.
It wasn't that way from the beginning.
No.
The wife took care of the home and did the kids and took care of things. Then men went out and hunt and fish and did all that manly stuff, you know, me man, that stuff. He did all those things because that was what his job was. But because we're in this world order, and because of the condition we're in, and because of all the divorces and the problems that this world has on it, everybody's working, everybody's got to get out of the house, everybody's got to give a hand, one income can't make it, you almost have to have husband and wife both working to be able to live in this hour. Satan's eating has caused us not to even be able to do the word of God like we want. And then our sisters get sort of down and say, man, I'm supposed to be home. Man, I'm supposed to be a wife at home. No, you're supposed to do whatever you need to survive with that man. Help me. You help each other. You're together in this. And if it takes both of you working, if I needed Clarice to go out and work, I'm like, Clarice, you know, go. Get it, as Brother Children says. Get it. We need money. So it's not a bad thing. See, what you got to understand is when you understand the hour that you're living in, you have to make adjustments for the hour. I'm not still running around in a caveman little skirt and a knife and fork and a foot. No. I go to Kroger's. I made adjustment. You say, well, I'm still going to stay with the Word of God. Then don't go to Kroger's. Get out in the wood. You can hunt. They still do it. Yeah, it can be done. Yeah, light that stove with that fire. Go on over there with that. I'll turn my GE on. But the thing is, it's not that it's bad, but you as the bride, only the bride, need to recognize where we're at in this world. And don't be like them.
Right.
That man being the head of the house is still God's word.
Amen.
I don't care if you got $1 billion and you're both sitting happy and fat and just not doing nothing. He's still the head of the house.
Right.
He still has the final word. At least he's supposed to. And because the weaker vessels are trying to take over the homes, it wrecks the process. That's why they're not in church today. Majority of the people that have left this church is because of their wives.
Right.
You're right.
Amen.
You're right.
Amen.
You might say it's not true, but I got the facts. I've talked to them. I know that the wives are letting them out of here. And because the men are so weak backboned that they don't even stand up and put their house in order.
Amen.
I'd rather be alone than to have my wife leading the house.
Amen.
And that doesn't make Clarice weak.
No.
That just means she knows her place and I know my place. She knows about the fall just like I know about the fall. She knew what God told her her place is, like I know what God told me my place is. And when you know those places, there will be no divorce.
Amen.
And the reason the divorces are like they are is because the homes have lost the leadership.
Amen.
Men aren't men, women aren't women. I appreciated what you said, Sister Sway. I want Kevin to take the lead. That is the right attitude. That is the right mind. And you're right, it is hard because the way we've been brought up, the hour we're living in, it's a tough world and you got to fight or you're going to get beat. You got to push or you're going to get run over. And you got to almost be a man to be a woman. I understood that testimony. But your desire... See, that's what I said. We're different than the rest of the world. Yeah. Our desire is to do it the way God wants. And yes, it's hard because our society and the way we've been brought up, it's hard to surrender. And it's hard, even in a good home, for a wife to keep her place. Oh, she gets out. Clarice gets out. Dawn gets out.
Amen.
I'm throwing. Ramona gets out.
Hey.
Y'all want me to keep going? I said enough.
Amen.
I could call.
Amen.
There is not one home in here. This is what I'm trying to tell you. There's not one home in here that doesn't get out. But the difference between us and the world is we understand what God's word calls for. That's our desire, and we don't want to be wrong. That's why we don't believe in divorce. Because when we start acting up, we get in our place, God smooths everything out. He takes all the high places and brings them low. He takes all the low places and brings them up. And we're walking right like this. And if I was single, I wouldn't want a wife unless she was going to come subject to the word and the will of God. If I was a sister, I wouldn't want a husband unless he wanted to lead. I wouldn't take a wimpy man who wouldn't want to lead. It's against the word of God. It'll end up in divorce. You can't make it that way. Can't be unequally yoked together. But when you're both pushing for the same thing and you both know your place, even when you get out, you know how to get back in. When I'm driving on a turn down a wrong street, I know how to get on the right road. That's why we don't believe in divorce. That's why this whole thing coming to existence. The weaker vessel, the woman, got away from the word of God, and because of that, she was put under the man and told, don't you leave. That's why we don't believe in women preachers. Women preachers, women leaderships, they are supposed. You know you've had women bosses. And you know the difference between a women boss and a man boss. Am I the only one know this? I know I was in trouble when I went into my boss's office, and she was first thing she did was putting up a mirror on her wall and spraying her hair. I walked in, she's doing like this. I said, what are you doing? I said, you got all these books, you got all this stuff you need to learn, you got all this stuff, and you're worried about your nails and your hair. I thought, Lord, help me, because this is my boss. Because I also believe and obey them that have rule over you. Some brothers in this message, they're so manly, they can't sit under a woman boss. No balance. They're going southeast. If she's your boss, you obey her. Because that scripture says, obey them to have rule over you. But she's not supposed to be my boss because she's a weaker vessel. She's smarter than you. She's got more years than you. And maybe she knows more than you. And it only, even if none of those apply, she's your boss. I knew 10 times more than that boss of mine. Matter of fact, I had to teach her job and eventually had her job because she couldn't do her job. But while I was under her, I obeyed. In an hour that we're living in this generation, oh, it's a wrecked up world. Everything's topsy-turvy, upside down, and we don't hardly know who's the boss and who's this and who's that. But in this Christian life we have, the wife still comes subject to her husband. And that's not slavery. That's knowing your place and knowing how to use your place to please God. Amen. And you'll please God by pleasing your husband. Right. He is your way back. We don't believe in marriage and divorce around here, but we've had it suffered. Had Jim call me one time, I know he don't mind. I throw him under the bus all the time. I was trying to camp, minding my own business. Had my little camper out there, little fire going, and the missus by my side, enjoying ourselves. Get a call from Brother Jim. Where you at? Well, hello to you too. God bless you. Well, I'm actually at a campsite. It wasn't even in town. Wilmington? See, he remembers. He said, I'll be there in an hour. Click. I'm like, okay. Had to deal with, when the house was on fire, he come and he brought his wife, and we all know her. She's leaving. She had her head on backwards. And there was nothing Jim could do about it. He couldn't handle her. And I'm the last one you see on my way out. And when I gave her the word, she didn't do it. Went out the door. Now, in that kind of case, there's going to be a divorce. But you know what the Bible tells me? Let the unbeliever depart. That's why I tell them, whenever they're talking about divorce, I say, let him do it. Let her pay for it. Let them, And it got to a place they had to go to court. He said, Jim, don't pay a dime. Mm-mm. If she want to file, let her file. Because my Bible tells me let the unbeliever depart. If you two are fighting about this message and oh, I can't stand it and she just won't come to church and she won't have nothing to do with you, flush. She got to go. Because I'm going to serve God. I'm not letting nobody, if Clary start acting crazy, put wheels under her. He said, but you don't believe in divorce. No, I don't. Right. But nothing's coming between me and God. Right. I love you, honey, but you got to go. Yeah. I love you, kids, but you got to go. Right. I love you, church, but you got to go. Yeah. That's how much this means to me. Right. And we don't believe in divorce, but there are times, and like Brother Spivey said one time, he said, I won't send somebody back to live in hell. I won't either. The Bible tells me if you please to dwell together. Right. But then you got people in this message that's southeast or northeast that say, well, you can't divorce, or you got a divorce because of this. If we please to be together, I don't care what she's done.
Amen.
I don't care what he's done. If we please to stay together, if she never comes to church and I always come and she gets my clothes ready and sends me on my way, I don't have nothing to say. If he won't come, but he never makes sure that I stay home, but always make sure the gas is in the car and the car's ready to go, and yeah, when the weather's bad, I get a new battery, and honey, well, I'll be here when you get back. Don't leave him.
Right.
We got people in the mess that are leaving because somebody's not going to church.
Right.
Southeast, northeast, I want direct east.
Amen.
If she pleased to dwell with me, stay with me. Right. If he pleased to stay with her, stay with her.
Yeah.
If they don't, they don't. Who did? Donnie Franklin. Well, God bless him. Sitting right next door. Set you. Yeah, with you. Send his wife. Always watches the church. Calls me if something happens. And just because he's not sitting on this bench don't mean he don't belong here. He belongs here more than people out there that backbiting us. Good wife. Right here. Standing strong. Believer of the word. Holding up the foot. He never keeps her from coming to church.
Amen.
Why would I tell her to throw him away? We don't believe in divorce around here. And I'll tell it as long as I live.
Amen.
But if you're in a situation where you got to get out, then just go. You say, well, that's awful. I'll try to help you. Because I believe that if I got two believers on my hand, I should be able to solve any problem in your home.
Amen.
Any problem.
Right.
I know. I've been on the whole spectrum from here to there. I've handled everything. So don't tell me it can't happen. But then when you got your mind made up and you're not going to follow the word of God, then you just got to go. I'm sorry. I'm not going to let that spouse of yours sit in hell because you don't want to be a believer.
Right.
And I still don't believe in divorce.
Right.
But like Brother Branham said, if I lose a case, I'll pray tomorrow for the next one. I'll marry the next one. Do you take her? Do you take him? Till death do you part. Those that God put together, no man put asunder. I'll treat you like I treated the first one.
Amen.
And my expectation is that you will go home and serve God and stay in your covenant and let God run that household.
Amen.
Why would you want a household without God in it?
Yeah.
I see people without God. I asked one brother one time, he used to go here. I said, what do y'all do? Do you pray over your meal? Because I was just curious. You know, I'm just nosy that way. I don't know how an unchristianized home works. And I was like, what do y'all talk about? Do you talk about the word at all? No, we don't talk about the word at all. I said, oh my. I said, do you pray over your food? I mean, I don't know how far it goes, because it's like, you know, you start kicking God out of your house, there's no limit to where the devil move in. And I asked myself, well, do y'all even pray over your food? Do you have any kind of none at all? Picnics on Sunday, parties, late Saturday night because you're sleeping in all day Sunday, on and on and on. And then I look at the kids and think, well, where do your kids get in their Christian education? What do you teach them? If you're not doing it and they're going to school and you know the secular world is not going to put any God, they don't even believe in God. They're not getting it there. And you won't bring little Johnny to Sunday school and let Dwayne put a little bit of Jesus in him. And then I see your household and your little hellions running around. And they don't have no respect for God, no respect for parents, no respect for nobody. And talk about you, tell you off. And I haven't seen it yet, but I haven't seen them cuss them out. But it's only a matter of time. The possibility is there. Like I said, there's no end to what Satan will do to your home. You're opening up to every spirit. You need to have the sweetness of the Holy Spirit in your home. You need to adorn yourself in such a way that's pleasing to God and to your brothers and sisters. You need to realize we're dealing with God's people, not the Channel 7 newscast. We're not out here trying to make ourselves look like the world. I am nothing like the world.
Amen.
Don't want to be. I want to be like him. And I'm not even trying to push legalism. I'm just telling you, there's a love that should be in there. Direct East is love. I love God so much that I want to do whatever he wants me to do.
Amen.
And there's no limits to what he can ask of me.
Right.
Just like there's no limits what the devil will do to them, there's no limits what God can ask of me.
Amen.
I want to be in my place. I want to be the head of my home, not to boss Clarice around, because most of the time, she always said, what do you want? What do you want? I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. You ask her. What do you want for dinner? I don't care. Sometimes I throw something in there that I know she don't have in the house. Because I want her to stop asking me. I don't care. You know, what do you want? I would like a T-bone steak. Well, we don't have none of that. Then why did you ask? See, I'm a little, I can be a little touchy. It's like, you just do, I'm easygoing. I'll eat whatever you put on the table. I don't, you know, whatever. I'm not. But when it comes to running the home, this is the direction we're going to do. This is where we're going. I told her this morning, Clarice, we got to get out of here. It's snowing outside. We need extra time. She's like, okay. And I come back, Clarice, we got to go. It's snowing. We need the time. Then she's putting her coat on. She didn't say nothing that time. Because I could tell she's a little, you know, you're pushing me. You're rushing me. So she didn't say nothing, but I could feel it. But I thought, because I knew what I knew we had to get it. She's like, I'm getting my coat. But you know what?
We're here.
We're here. I have leadership in my home. I'm not her boss, but I give her a lot of good advice. She could take it or leave it. If she'd have thrown her coat down, says, you know what? I am tired of you telling me to get ready. I'm like, you know you're right. I am tired of you trying to tell me what I need to do. You know you're right. Now get your coat. We got to go. But that's our home. I got to lead. If I left it up to her, honestly, we'd get here about 11.
Oh, Lord.
Eventually. But I got a push in me, and I got a poker sometimes. I know when I have to say, come on, we got to go. Come on, we got to do. Come on. And, you know, and that's just one example. There's many cases, but I am leading my home. Am I bossing her? No. She has her car keys. She has her own car. I don't know what she does all day, honestly. I'm starting to find out. Since I'm semi-retired, I'm starting to find out. I find out what time she gets up. I find out what time she has her coffee. I find out what time she goes to the gym. I find out what time she, how long she takes at the gym. And I'm finding out a lot of stuff. But I don't boss her around. If she says I'm going to the gym and it's going to be 3 hours, I'm like, see you when you get back. I don't care what she does during the day in that sense. She runs the house. She does what she needs to do. She is her own boss. I ain't bossing her. People always say, make a doormat out of her. She don't look like no doormat. Matter of fact, sometimes y'all call me, where's Clarice? I don't know. I heard the garage door. She went out somewhere. I know, but I do know one thing. She'll be back before dark. Marriage and divorce. You can have a beautiful home. You don't have to be afraid of marriage when God's in it. You don't have to be afraid of leadership when God's in it. You don't have to be afraid of home when God's in it. Just make sure God's in it. Then there will not be divorce.
Amen.
I'm going to stop here because I think it's a good time to stop. I realize there's a whole lot more to this. A lot of angles. A lot of testimonies. You all been there. I ain't the only one that knows what it's talking about, what I'm talking about. Y'all know. But I wanted us to have an opportunity to find out why God put the woman under the man. Where did it originate? That original sin. Why was Eve susceptible to Satan when Adam wasn't? When did that happen? What's the difference between the way Adam came and the way he came? We know these things now. And so it's not so much that I'm concerned about the world. I'm concerned about the bride. There's a whole nother area that I haven't touched. Typing the bride in the church. The whole reason for this whole fall and all of this was to bring about what the church was going to do. But we'll come back to that. I appreciate this. God letting us have this time to even talk on this. Because like I said, I've never really went over this. I don't think in 37 years,
40 years, whatever it's been, I don't think I've ever really done this. And I don't know. I think about some of our young people, and I was thinking about it this morning, I think, or last night. I said, I don't know. I hadn't really covered this like this before. Maybe if some of the young people had heard this, it would help them in some of their decisions. See, I'm sorry. I take it personal. I take it personal. I look at every person. Y'all don't know, but every soul that leaves this place breaks my heart. And I think, Lord, could I have done something different? Could I have brought it another way? Could I? And I, even at this, I look at all the young people are out there with these messed up marriages and messed up lives, and think, God, if they had this understanding, maybe they wouldn't have taken that route. Or God, help us if they should somehow get a hold of the service and hear it and see that there is a right way to do it, that maybe they'll come back and start over and say, honey, let's do this the right way. It's not too late for our home and our kids. And let's get God in our house. And maybe they can get a hold of this and somehow get it back on the right track. Because my goal is here is to help us to understand this thing. Yeah. So that when I look at your homes, I see homes that are happy. It bothers me when I see homes that are fighting and fussing and nobody's happy. The kids are unhappy. The parents are fighting and on the verge of divorce. And you never know when you walk in that house whether they're going to be together or apart. And you walk in and you don't know whether they're going to be fighting or kissing. And you don't know whether, and that bothers me. As a pastor, it bothers me. And I think if they only understood the reasons behind the why we do what we do, maybe understanding about marriage and divorce and the garden and the separation and Eve's coming in after the completion and Satan, and where all this came into play. Maybe if they understood these things, then they can bring their homes a little closer. I think it should do that for us here, even this morning. Amen. I think it should make us look at our home a little better. Yes. Look a little different and say, you know, I haven't taken my role as serious as I should have, or I've not listened to you like I should have, and look to you as being the leader here, not to boss me, but to be that final voice here, because our home needs it. Our children need it. If there's going to be a future and they need to know how to pick a spouse, I want them to be able to pick a spouse just like you. Those are the things that should be coming out of here. If I'm not married, when I pick a wife, I don't want to just get a woman that's a girl. I don't just want some old little Ricky or Ricketta that's going to come into my home and change the atmosphere. I got a good atmosphere. I could worship God anytime I want. I want somebody that's going to come and join me in my worship. That's like if I'm in here singing and you come in here talking. I don't want you coming in here talking. I want you to come in and join in and sing with me so we can sing together in harmony as a happy family. And when you got a house and you got it set up, don't let Satan come in and destroy what God has blessed you with. Amen. I'd rather you be single than to be in a miserable home. I'd rather you be single and have God than be miserable and have a wife or a husband that don't even serve God. And all they do is talk about you and down what you believe and make a bad home for you. I don't want that. So I'm thinking if somebody can help us to understand marriage and divorce and what Brother Branham was trying to bring, maybe that will help us to settle some things in our lives. Help us to realize, who am I trying to dress after? Who am I trying to live after? Who am I trying to look after? I'm not talking clothesline religion. There was a preacher I heard him say, I always preach the ABCs of this of the word. And he said, always A was something, B was something, but C was clothes. He was preaching clothesline religion. Huh?
Attitude, behavior, and clothes.
Yes, that's what they were. Attitude, behavior, and clothes. That was his message. And that's what he preaches. And I thought, God, I am so grateful that I'm not under that. Because if that's all you got to preach, there's so much more to understand about God than your attitude and your behavior and your clothes. I'm not trying to clothesline you. I'm just saying you need to look at what your desires are and what you're trying to produce and who you're trying to please. And the reasons behind the way you do what you do. They cross their legs on that TV. The camera's looking right up their dress.
And they do it because they think they're beautiful. And the world's longing for them. But that's not the kind of beauty we want. We want to serve God in His beauty and holiness. And though I don't say it a lot, that's what I want from us. That's what God is looking for. And when you know where beauty comes from in humans, you won't want anything to do with it. You want to get as far away from that as you can. And when you understand that I can serve God and I can still be beautiful, do it. Because there's nothing more beautiful than a Christian. All the way around, there's nothing more beautiful. I don't see anything better than when I come to this church and I see you all sitting in this congregation, enjoying the glory of the Lord, smiling, knowing that the world don't understand you. They think you need to keep up with the fashions and keep up with the Joneses. If the Joneses have two cars and a boat, you got to have it. If they have this, they have that, you got to have it. But it's not about that. It's about serving God and letting His beauty reign out through your lives. And His beauty's not going to be that such. You know, I didn't get over there. Jesus, they said that He was comely. Nothing, that no beauty. No beauty that the world should desire. We don't have a beauty that the world desires. If we do, we need to lay that down. Because if the world desires the beauty that you have, it's the wrong beauty. Go after the beauty that God loves. God loves you to come and just be yourself and to be honest and be open and be willing and be pliable to change. If you look at yourself this morning and say, well, I haven't met that, then you know what? Today's the day. Today's the day for you to say, you know what? Enough is enough. I've tried to match the world. I can't. I tried to fit in with the world. I can't. I want to fit in here. Because somebody said this morning, this is our family. This is where you fit. You know, when you're with your family, you don't have to put on airs. If your feet stink, you pull your shoes off, your sister talks about you, but you know what? She lets you stay in the house. We want that kind of family. I'm so glad. Let's sing that as we get ready to close. I'm a part of the family of God. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your word this morning, the part of it that we were able to share. Lord, there's a whole lot more that could be said. And Lord, I know that this family that's here, we love each other. And we're here because we want to be right. We know this word is true. We know Brother Branham was right and everything he said was correct and perfect. Lord, we want to stand on it, even if it cuts us. We want to say, Lord, it's right. I want to step it up. Oh, I don't want to turn it down. I don't want to look at it and say, oh, it doesn't mean anything. Oh, it means everything. This is the place where you're going to make a stand. This is the place where you draw a line in the sand and say, Lord, I want to be more like you. Oh, we could open up the altar. And Lord, every one of us will come up here because we all want to be better. But Lord, I pray that you'll just meet us right where we're sitting, whether it's here in the congregation, at home, tuned in, if we're listening to a service that was pre-programmed some other time. Lord, let us draw the line right where we're standing and say, Lord, make me more like you. If I've left out anything, let me move up closer. That's our desire. We don't believe in divorce here. But we understand how it happens. We love marriage because it's a perfect type of you and us. Thank you for all you've done and continue to bless and be with us. Keep us safe on the roads. Lord, it was hazardous for the body to even try to get here this morning. But Lord, they love you so much that they put their very life at jeopardy to be here. And in being here, they were able to hear your word and Father, move up another notch. Those that couldn't make it that were at home, Lord, I pray that you move them up a notch and bless them as well. Continue to bless us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know what page that is? 57? Don't forget, there's no service tonight.
We'll come back, Lord willing, on Wednesday. I wasn't expecting this morning. And I was rather surprised it was out there. But then I thought, well, amen. I'm glad I'm part of this family. Oh, wrong 57. I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family of God. I've been born of His Spirit and cleansed by His blood. I am joined with Jesus as I travel this on. I'm a part of the family. Family of God. I'm so glad that I'm of the family of God, born of His Spirit, cleansed by His blood, and cleansed by His blood. Joint heirs, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this side. I'm a part of the family of God. You're dismissed. I'm so glad.